mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 448. I'm Adam, and you've angered it! And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Danger, mistress! Danger!
Robert Haynes.
You are one of the most evil and corrupt beings this human race has ever produced. Your crimes are without number, and your villainy without end.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going for the whole script for a minute then. Who have I forgot? Mary Lang?
Like Alice, I like to think of three impossible things before breakfast.
We're done, Kirby, haven't we?
Yeah.
have I done you, Debbie?
No.
Debbie Melrose?
Just a twinge of cosmic angst.
Oh, that was on my list. Isabella Pearson.
Another good one.
Oh, no, shut up. Isabella Pearson.
It's as simple as pie.
Kyle Quinn.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Scarecrow.
And Alicia Pearson.
Hi.
You donut.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Yes, hello. Pizza, yeah. Hello, Alicia.
Goodbye.
What?
I said hello.
I thought we said bye-bye.
I'll go if you want.
No.
Pizza.
Pizza.
Right, that, I'll be all right.
I don't eat pizza anymore.
Yes, you do. You fibber.
That is absolute
lie. No, I don't eat every day anymore.
Oh, not every day.
Not every day.
No, well, that's right.
It was only on Monday mornings that you ever
Yeah, anyway, on the live feed, Lillian Robin says, you've had this room decorated, haven't you? I don't like it.
No, I don't like it.
All right, sadly, we're reviewing Five Doctors. Nothing to do with our anniversary episode clashing with our anniversary episode. It's just the way it happened.
No, I think it's perfect.
Do you now? What, you think the Five Doctors is perfect?
What a coincidence.
Well, in some ways, yes.
Okay.
I'm very fond of it.
Okay. Really? But not necessarily for the right reasons.
Yeah.
All right. What I did forget to do is set up the video thing running in the background while this is all. Can you hear it? It's all funny bubbling noises.
What was that?
It's the retro video menu thing for the Five Doctors. I've got the one with the new special effects, which I don't particularly like. Don't know how I managed to get that one.
Sounded like Robert's tummy.
Yeah. Master?
Yes?
I went back and started to listen to our discussing this one from a while back, from 2013, and that the newer version, the special effects version, was the only version you had. And it was also the only version I had.
That was the moment where the listeners could have got their cups of tea sorted out. Thanks for that, Kirby. Right.
Matthew's on.
Matthew.
Back at
it
again.
Yes. I'm sure he's on. You stop knocking that microphone. It's very sensitive. We've done the introduction. Now you can do your quote. Be interested to see if you pick out a quote that nobody else has done. Are you ready?
I am.
All right then. And Matthew Kressel.
At least that terrible hammering is stopped.
Well done. Yes, well done.
Ooh, I like your hair, Izzy. Very nice.
Yeah, I like Izzy's hair too.
Stop getting distracted, as usual. Right then. Okay, so the episode started with William Hartnell doing his monologue from Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Yes, I will return. Yes.
Which essentially could have been your monologue over the last few weeks, Debbie.
Pretty much. it's been a tough couple of weeks. We got ill again, and it just wasn't very good.
Yeah, who isn't ill?
Yeah. Mm, don't fake.
Your hamster.
Oh, hello, Deb. What? Yeah, I know she's there. Are you not coming in then? No, she's not coming in. Oh, she is coming. No, she's not coming in. There's something with off at the end of it. I don't know what she was saying.
And it began with P.
Anyway, yes, yeah, so the episode starts with some random sort of model shots with some mist floating around, some empty corridors, which is a bit weird.
No, it doesn't.
Here we go.
You've been watching the special edition.
You're watching the special edition.
Don't care. It's the only one I've got. All right, what is it?
So it is the only one you have.
Yes.
That's not the proper one to watch.
Well, I can't watch a proper one then, because I haven't got it.
You forced me to watch the long one.
This isn't all long. They're all long, dear. Anyway, right. So
the episode starts with the doctor wiping off the new console.
Yeah, console.
Well, that's the next bit on this one. And Turlo doing some painting.
No, it's drawing.
Right, drawing then. How do you know it's drawing? We didn't actually see it, did we?
But because, like,
he's sketching. He's implying
that. So it's like.
It's really a major part of the plot, isn't it? Let's talk about the fact that Turlo is
maybe
doing.
Maybe it is. Like, you'll never know.
We don't have to particularly worry about that. He still hasn't changed his clothes after about six stories. Filthy.
Even though her dress still will mess up with CSO, but. It's a different mess up in CSO.
Yeah. And like I said, the doctor's sort of changed the console. It's a very nice console, but we thought
maybe.
He
hasn't changed his clothes, though.
Yes, he hasn't changed his clothes. Turlo hasn't changed his clothes.
He recently changed his celery.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
That celery looks all good.
So let's talk about a bit of the plot. So far,
it's
then.
It's not really celery, it's just a cloth thing.
It's fake.
It's a cloth disguised as celery.
Oh, it's not exactly fresh.
No.
It looks all brown.
So apparently they're in the Eye of Orion, which just looks like some ruins in Wales.
On a bad day.
I was going to say, it's a castle.
So they're having a bit of a rest for about 5 seconds. And then some very bad models from... that wouldn't really sell very well in some Doctor Who shops started to be placed in this thing.
I like those models.
I would pay good money for
this.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then we see a shot of a phallus building, which crops up quite a few times in the story.
It's a phallus.
I'm not going to tell you because there's innocent ears, Robert.
Phallic. Of the whatever's of Rassilon.
Innocent
ears. Is that your toe?
Yes, that was my toe.
I did warn you not to put your toe under my foot, otherwise it's likely to get trodden.
Don't put your foot over my toe.
Well, don't put your toe under my foot. Yes?
I've got one word. Three.
What's that got to do with the toe?
Eliminator.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the building, the tomb of Rassilon. And that there are so many of Rassilons in this story, I was starting to get a bit giddy by the end of it.
The tomb of Rassilon, pillow of Rassilon.
Anyway, back to the story. So we have a cosplayer of the First Doctor wandering through some gardens.
Cosplayer.
And then he gets swallowed up by a triangle, basically. And then we see...
Phantom Zone.
Or Casper the Friendly Ghost, depending on which version you're watching.
Dr. Zeus, what do you mean?
The triangle, it's actually not a triangle. It's got a top.
Got a bit off the top, hasn't it?
It looks like a triangle.
Anyway, Jeremy Miles says, have you put the gum in that box? What, the box by the door? No, that's what's in that box, actually? Maybe it's my birthday present.
It's Mum's stuff.
Oh, okay. Right then, so back to the story.
You got the one ring? Really?
So, yeah, and the cosplayer of the First Doctor gets swallowed up by this triangle. The Doctor has a bit of a palpitation.
A little kibosh in all this kind of thing is that really this would have happened years ago in the Doctor's time stream.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be when they show it on TV... that he just happens to have this...
Wait, Robert.
Doesn't make
wibbly
any sense.
Wobbly timey wimey, Robert.
Robert, it's a science fiction fantasy movie.
It comes out for you quite regularly, Kirby.
Well, Laurie Nick says, happy anniversary 20 megabiters. I thought she was saying happy 20th anniversary. That does feel like it, to be fair.
Thanks, Laurie.
are we still going to have the podcast in another 10 years?
Anyway, back to the episode.
The journey is stretching out. We probably will.
Yes.
The Brigadier is in the next scene with Carstairs, who's actually not called Carstairs in this story. If you're wondering who Carstairs is, he was in the War Games, everyone. We watched that a few. Yes, thank you, Matthew.
Who played him?
For agreeing with me. Hey, what?
No point already. Who?
It's not a point, it's just a ding. Anyway, so the, and then the
Carstairs.
Carstairs from the War Games. Who's the actor? I don't know who the actor is.
Denham Manners is the actor.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. Very useful to have around, Matthew. See that, Kirby? That's how it's done.
He's on, he's on the cover.
He has Wikipedia open.
I do not,
Wikipedia
actually.
Is lies.
Oh. Yeah, Matthew doesn't have to have Wikipedia.
Matthew is Doctor Who Wikipedia.
Except for that one.
Anyway, back to the story. All right, so the second Doctor barges his way into the office to have a chat. A very short chat, has to be said, with the Brigadier.
Wait a second.
Oh, for Christ's sake. What?
Matthew?
Very nice.
Yes.
Who did you say plays Colonel Crichton?
Denham Manners, I think.
David Seville.
Oh, it stopped. Oh, look, back again.
Where am I getting Denham Manners from, then?
I don't know.
My records keep stopping.
Who is Denham Manners?
Can we get on with
that's
it?
That's what I want to know.
I want to know who Denham Manners is now.
Oh, look it up. Anyway, so the second Doctor, for some reason, just meets up with the Brigadier for a five-minute chat, and then they get scooped up by this triangle. And then the fifth Doctor has a bit of another sort of chest pain.
Matthew's just got a brain aneurysm.
Has
it? Yeah, well, Denham Manners is the half.
He's the what?
It's the what?
It's read the info text. It's the house that plays Unit HQ.
Oh, uh-huh. So it's not even a person.
How I managed to write that down wrong, but here we go.
Matthew.
He's a great character actor, yeah.
It does sound like the name of some British character actor.
Look, guys, if you're not careful, you're going to make this story sound interesting.
Matthew looks like concrete.
Yes, Kirby.
If you studied this for the quiz is not going to be on this.
I didn't study for the quiz. I watched it mainly to enjoy it and to try to one-up you, and it failed miserably.
Anyway, how are we doing so far? 12 minutes into the episode, 8 minutes into the story. Well done, everyone, on form. The next scene, we see the third Doctor. The third Doctor driving Bessie through some fields, and he tries to sort of outrun the triangly thing in Bessie. What?
Where's Clara? She should be along there.
Should she?
When he looks in his mirror, I expect to see Clara's face.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Sarah Jane is wearing a sort of poncho thingy.
Oh, isn't that a horrible outfit?
It's very of its time.
I was going to say, it's very 80s.
No, it's not even of its time.
Is she pregnant? Because it looks very much like a maternity wear.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't assume.
Anyway, so Canine warns her not to go. Then we have the beware of the dog sign. Ha, 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 ha. Then we have the Sharda scene of the Doctor punting through Cambridge. Oh, sorry, Doctor with Romana.
I thought that was very well done.
At that time, that was great. We actually had some scenes from Sharda.
Yeah. Right.
And then after those doctors get scooped up, the fifth Doctor collapses and starts, for an unknown reason, dematerializing.
Sarah Jane basically just runs into a bush. She gives up.
Oh, you noticed that, did you?
Yeah.
Do you like the way she throws her handbag as well?
Yeah.
Well, she seems to have a problem with a sense of direction in this story. Yes.
It was interesting when I was looking at Google Street View of that corner. First off, her house. All you have to do is
jump over the fence,
the camera, and you can see that very spot where she was kidnapped by the triangle.
Probably why they picked it.
Yes.
Anyway,
To say that I watched the original and then I also watched the fan-made one, and the fan-made one, every time a scene changed, it was something from they used a boing from She-Ra, as my daughter pointed out.
Oh, thank you.
Fan-made, what do you mean?
So there's a fan-made one on the 24-hour movement, and it's Yeah, it's interesting to watch because it's not a triangle. It's a circle with lots of little circles around it taking the doctors. It's really weird.
Interesting.
Anyway,
back to the story. So the whoever's nicking all these blimmin' characters is getting a nice little collection of figurines to push around this thing.
I don't know where those are. Are they in a private collection or is?
I don't know.
Doctor Who Experience around. Have them? Or?
Probably. I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Was using them as firewood.
Was he?
What?
Apparently.
Anyway,
surprise me.
In the Time Lord High Senate, what do you call it? The three of the big bosses that all sat together, including Brucer.
Dining table.
Yeah, Brucer, who is very grumpy in this story, has to be said.
It's just nothing.
And then they call for one, a really bizarre reason, I've never really understood this, the Master of all the people in the universe to help the Doctor.
He's the only one who could.
He's the only one they could. Perhaps he's the only ones available and he was in contract to do so.
Well, they fried the other ones, didn't they?
Yes. Anyway, so the idea is they're going to send the Master into the Death Zone to help the Doctor. This is the
scene which I believe is where you could kind of connect the most recent Doctor Who story with the Timeless Child.
Yes, how?
Well, with the... Here, let me find my notes.
String?
Oh, God.
I think it's the granting of the regeneration cycle, isn't it, to the Master if he cooperates?
Yes.
We will give you a whole new regeneration cycle if you basically do what we tell you to do.
Yeah. Which I think, as Terrence Dix points out on the commentary, was really controversial with the fandom at the time. Because they're like, how can you do that? And, of course, it's now become the basis of things almost 40 years later.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, the next scene we see.
Master, when we were discussing this in 2013, you also were saying something about it where it was.
It was.
Well, I'm trying to find. Why can't I find my notes?
Because they don't matter. Can I get on? Anyway, right. So the first.
Well, when I find it in a few minutes, I'll just interrupt.
I'm sure you will.
Some things never change on this show.
Forward, yes.
Anyway, so we have the cosplayer of the First Doctor wandering around the corridors, bumps into Susan, who seems to recognise him as her grandfather, this cosplayer bloke. So it must be a really good cosplayer. And this Dalek, who's gone a bit mad, all it seems to want to say is exterminate, 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 exterminate.
Anyone else.
The Doctor.
Yeah. The only good thing about the Dalek...
Except in the outtakes, where there's one where he loses it, where Roy Skelton has a rather famous outtake that's not repeatable in front of innocent ears.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's very funny. Hang on, see if we've got any more stuff coming through on the live feed. No. Right then, so... the Master is persuaded because he thinks it would be nice to help the Doctor.
Persuasion?
Normally when you see him, he's got the completely opposite attitude to helping the Doctor, usually trying to help the Doctor die, funny enough.
Yeah, but a universe without the Doctor isn't worth thinking about.
But he's obviously thought about it quite a lot because he's tried to kill him on quite a few occasions. Anyway, so cosplay Doctor and Susan the Doctor comes up with a plan to kill the Dalek by letting him shoot himself. The only good thing about this scene is the actual dead Dalek. I thought that was quite good.
Yes.
Surely a laser into a mirror would just reflect it, but he was saying, no, it's just because it's a confined room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it made sense to a degree.
It's a Dalek gun. It's not a laser.
Who said laser?
It was a laser that came out.
Yeah, don't take any notice of him, Robert.
But
the good thing about it, of course, it allowed them to blast a hole through the wall so they can see the tower and the tomb of Rassilon.
The death
zone. So the hole in the wall of Rassilon enabled them to see the tomb of Rassilon. Neil James says, Adam, please make more sense than the other bloke I've just watched on my screen tonight. A waste of time, that was. We might as well have started at 7 like I said we should have done. Right then, so hang on, me video's stopped, so it's back on again.
Can I pick somebody's brains?
Oh, God, help us. Yes?
Something that I couldn't make any sense of. Where is this death zone supposed to be? Because they talk about getting back to Gallifrey.
It's on Gallifrey.
It's on the planet Gallifrey, but not near the...
Yeah, it's somewhere on Gallifrey. Yes.
Yeah, it's on the planet, but not near
the... Why do they talk about getting back to Gallifrey if they're already on it?
Yeah, because there's a city Gallifrey and the planet Gallifrey. Does that make sense?
Okay.
The Citadel Gallifrey.
The Citadel.
Mm. Yeah, it would be nice if they would say Gallifrey City.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Citadel something. But, keeping in mind this was as much aimed at a general audience as it was, the regular viewers and, God help us, we the fans. Yeah, I can understand why they made the decision not to be any more confusing than they already were being.
Right then. Mm. So I'm going to just pause here. Kyle, are you there?
I'm still there.
So, what are you making of these fools? Well, I'm trying to do a podcast, interrupting me every 5 seconds.
It reminds me of the podcast you showed me when Alicia was in it. Currently having things thrown at me.
You did ask, Adam. You did ask.
Yeah. Just wanted to see if I can find someone on the show with a bit of sense.
Oh, there's no sense this side.
Oh, you're right.
Got some dollars.
Especially from a professional entertainer such as yourself, Kyle.
What's that?
Especially from a professional entertainer such as yourself.
Oh, exactly, yes. Right.
Entertainer's living does not mean he has sense.
What'd she say?
I don't know. I tend to zone out when she
starts. Just because something or something, you've got sense.
Oh, she's trying to play you down, Kyle. All those things you do for an all.
I know. Everything. And this is how I get repaid.
Do you
want to
get married?
Oh! I'm being threatened now.
Anyway, so the second Doctor and the Brigadier have landed in a quarry somewhere, which is a bit misty. And there's a great scene in which the Brigadier's army gets grabbed by a Cyberman. We presume it's a Cyberman.
I must say, that was some A-class acting on that one.
And gets bashed over. Gets bashed over with a rock.
The out-of-time bashing of the metal. That was
the sound effect was good, wasn't it?
Clang, clang, clang. Leave that glove alone.
Did someone just get a pat? Did someone just get a pat in the background? Yeah. Just
look,
go,
yeah, if you look closely, the Cyberman is wearing blue jeans as well.
I know, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
You could see him through it. That's
it was
so
his
fun.
Day off.
Anyway, so the next scene is... The next scene... Thanks, Alicia.
Master?
Yes?
I found my... It was part of the feedback. But you said in 2013... So...
You've been taken to task for something you said in 2013.
Dealing with the fact that Rassilon himself could grant new regeneration cycles, you said, so if it's not controlled by anybody and the Doctor is the only Time Lord in existence, which at the time we thought, why would he have a limit?
Thank you for that. Aren't I clever? Right then, back to the episode. it was really worth waiting for that, wasn't it? The next scene is the third Doctor driving Bessie through some misty hills. And to cut a long story short...
Gallifrey looks oddly like the Cotswolds.
To cut a long story short, Sarah Jane falls down a very narrow sort of incline. Rolls down.
The slopinger.
10 out of 10.
One that you could easily stand up and walk up without even having to climb, yet the Doctor throws a rope down.
And drags her from a car.
Yeah.
Well, he does spend most of this story teaching her how to climb.
Yeah.
Have
you put that? Would you put that? There you go.
The thing is, how did she even fall? The only reason she fell over was because she was, waving her arms about.
I do. were you talking over Alicia then? Hang on, were you talking then?
Was. Oh, my goodness.
Alicia, what were you saying?
I said it's a bit of a quinky dink that he's got a rope in the back of his car.
He's a bloke, Alicia. Blokes have things in their cars. Actually, thinking of your car, Alicia, you've got a hell of a load of stuff in the back of your car, haven't you?
No.
Pizza boxes.
My car is clean now. Compared to
my car is disgusting. No. Absolutely vulgar.
So you're not backing her up on that particular...
No way.
It's
not.
It's not.
It's not.
The car is yours.
Yeah, but do you remember, Alicia, when you came round to me, you drove your car round to my house with a flat tyre because you wanted the tyre changer, and how long it took to get to the spare tyre in your boot because of the random stuff, shall we say, wasn't it?
Cleaned it out since then.
Oh, okay.
It has been.
And on this week's episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Matthew, it's topical. We were talking about the car. Anyway. So, the Doctor 1, as in the cosplay Doctor and Susan, stumble across the TARDIS part in the middle of wilderness, I suppose you call it. And when they... When they step inside the TARDIS, the fifth Doctor miraculously starts feeling a little bit better. They initially sort of put in some banter between the two Doctors and some of the companions.
It's the five Doctors.
Master,
yes.
You know what I don't like about this first Doctor?
He doesn't look anything like William Hartnell.
Well, no, besides that, he acts like he's the oldest when he's the youngest.
They all do that, though, don't they?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, they did that with the three Doctors, too, way back in the day, too, 10 years before this. So they're still doing it. I think it's because he physically looks older than everybody else when he's really the youngest.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because that's in the script as well, reading Terrence Dix's novelization of it as well.
Mm. Yeah, but didn't that happen in the Day of the Doctor when John Hurt's Doctor was a bit more mature than... Smith and Tennant's Doctors. He sort of acted almost like he was knocking their heads together when it came to how they were acting around sonic screwdrivers.
Right.
So, don't know. Anyway.
Some things never change.
What I got probably looking back on was a bit upset by this scene is that the fifth Doctor, who hadn't seen Susan for a very, 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 very long time, could have been a bit more sort of, oh, Susan! I'm sort of
enthusiastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody in this story suffers from lack of enthusiasm.
So, meanwhile, the Master is set down with a golden yo-yo.
That's what I thought it was.
To the Death Zone. And
I've always thought it looks like a bicycle bell.
I was going to say that as well. It
look, a yo-yo.
Look like a bicycle bell.
Okay, if you say so. I'm going to stick with the yo-yo. Meanwhile, back on the TARDIS, Turlo, Tegan and Susan are enjoying what looks a bit like a cream tea.
I wasn't hearing this stuff in his face.
And there's a plan afoot to go off out and try and get into the tower. The third Doctor bumps into the Master. And there was a point when he said, oh, Jehoshaphat, is that really you? That everybody thought the Master's real name was Jehoshaphat.
I never thought that.
I didn't think
of that. Oh, that made that a lot better.
But surprise, surprise, that doesn't believe a word of the Master's story. And why would he?
Indeed.
Surprise,
Of course, Barusa is keeping track of all this stuff on a monitor screen. The Doctor and Sarah stumble across some Cybermen.
You got that wrong.
They do. They stumble across some Cybermen.
No. Sarah Jane.
What did I say?
For some reason, we stuck to call her Sarah Jane all the time during this story.
Not all the time. Only most of the time.
Most of the time. He only called her Sarah once.
Okay, well, I apologize on behalf
this was
of Terrence
the start
Dix.
Of the whole, well, you must call her Sarah Jane.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Well,
Don't worry about it.
Almost as ridiculous as I was reading an interview Carol Ann Ford did, where she said at one point, went to John Nathan Turner and asked him, why do I not call, you know, the my doctor grandfather? And apparently John Nathan Turner looked at her with a straight face and said, we don't want people thinking about the doctor having sex to have fathered a child. And she said she literally laughed at his face and told him that you can either put the references back in or I'm not doing it. So they put the references
good
back
for her.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Also, Master.
Yes.
The encounter between the third Doctor and the Master is not an encounter that includes Cybermen. That's the fifth Doctor.
No, you donut. I'd moved on from that bit. I was just talking about the third Doctor and Sarah. Didn't the car break down and they started walking and they encountered some Cybermen?
Yeah.
Yeah, they encountered... What's the name of that guy that jumps around a lot? Because he's brilliant.
Oh, well, we haven't got that bit. We haven't got that far yet, Debbie. You're sort of moving
ahead. We're not there yet. Oh,
I know you'd like
I'm
to be that far in. And in fact, we'd all like to be that far in, but we have got Kirby on the show.
The other version I watched, the sound effects for that were amazing. So, yeah.
So, the Second Doctor and the Brigadier enter some caves, which rather conveniently has some torches outside that you can light and stuff.
As most caves do.
Yes.
Don't
they? Like, that's very convenient.
That's an average for a cave, yeah.
And then.
And unfortunately, I don't know what caves those are.
Doesn't
I'm
matter.
Sure Matthew does.
I do not, actually.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Kyle, do you think it matters what caves they are?
No.
There we go. That's, couldn't get plainer than that.
There were caves in Wales.
Oh, but you come. So, now, did you see that, Kirby? One word answer.
We get told off for not going to see.
Is Kyle the backup?
Yes, he is.
Then why am I
am the backup.
You're here for I don't know why. Are
emotional
you?
Support.
Yes. No, that's never going to happen, is it? So
it is like keeping your mental stability of Kirby.
Amy fell down to the ground. So the Fifth Doctor, as Tegan and Susan stumble across.
People never.
Master. No.
Never gonna. Just never gonna let.
Never
that
let
go.
It down.
Well, you'll probably hear it a bit later on in the show when we get a bit more nostalgic.
No.
So that in my version of the Five Doctors, when the Fifth Doctor and the Master are having a conversation, and the Cyberman sort of peeps around the corner and finds them.
I love that.
In my version, the Cyberman does not go, ah, sadly. So it's ruined.
That's funny.
Why do the Cybermen sound like normal people when they talk?
Yeah, they do.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the cyber leader, David Banks, sounds very like that.
He grows up at one point, for goodness sake. I mean...
I know.
He's really
weird.
They're
not meant to be robots, dear. They're meant to be robotic. What's the different thing?
Yeah, but they still...
They're humans underneath, though.
These are the most excellent Cybermen.
But there's a lot of them, I notice, in this story.
And there's multiple cyber leaders.
Cybermen,
yes. Yeah. There are multiple cyber leaders.
That's true. Yeah.
So anyway, meanwhile,
in each group.
Meanwhile, when the Master's trying to persuade the Fifth Doctor that he means him no harm, he waves a phallic object at him to prove that he could easily kill him. I thought the Doctor confiscated the particular object in the previous story.
Like, I'm friendly, but I can still
I mean, we don't know what happened between the stories. I mean, if the Master can come back from the dead between stories, why couldn't he get a new tissue compression eliminator as well?
Exactly. And not only does it look like a rather rude object, it does also look like it's some sort of microphone that you could just
this was
burst
written,
in
the
song.
Like, this is not
the
written
I'm
in
to kill you is a song.
In succession.
No,
this
no.
Before.
The Fifth Doctor left the... TCE in the Master's TARDIS.
What a clever thing to do.
And it aimed at the control console to mess things up in the very last story.
That didn't work too well, did it? Obviously. No. So, anyway, the Master gets sort of zapped, as the Doctor says, by a rock that, well, shrapnel basically knocks him out. And the Doctor takes
that
the...
That like it could have hurt them.
The Doctor takes the yo-yo and...
I'm a head out.
Transports himself back to the Citadel, capital. Oh,
playing with the yo-yo.
Yeah. And the Master then starts cringing and fawning to the Cybermen and says he's their friend and stuff. And so...
We besties now.
Heard that one before.
Yeah. We missed something.
I did? What did I miss?
You missed Susan tripping.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I forgot about that. It was very quick, though, wasn't it?
Time for the magic handkerchief.
Yes. She didn't mention that she'd actually twisted her ankle, though, even though it was fairly obvious.
Ridiculous.
Well, you're not happy about Susan's clumsiness.
Magic water and a magic handkerchief. She knows the drill.
It's so typical. Like, usually, it's always a woman, though. Like, so they always have to fall over.
Well, quite rightly so.
That's what I mean.
But every character has to have, you know.
Every character has to have their little memorable moment in this, if you pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, that's her little thing.
What was Thurlow's memorable moment then?
They had ginger hair. What did you say, Alicia?
I thought she did just trip up on a piece of grass.
I know!
And then she was like, ow!
Your blade of grass picking up.
It's fallen off. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but the blade of grass is the biggest thing she's ever tripped over while being in Doctor Who.
Turlough's moment was him doing the drawing at the beginning. That was it. He was sidelined pretty much after that.
Yeah, and the Doctor wasn't entirely impressed with his artwork either by the expression on his face. Meanwhile, back to the story. The Second Doctor and the Brigadier are wandering through some caves. Hang on, my thing stopped again.
Oh, don't forget the squeezy through the little alleyway
What squeezy thing?
He, like, squeezed for a little, like, what's it called, babe?
A crack.
A crack, yeah. And we got, I don't think we've got to that bit yet, but...
No, we haven't.
No. And then we get to Debbie's favourite bit, where the Third Doctor and Sarah Jane, Sarah, stumble across the very cool-looking flying sort of spear thrower.
Raston Warrior Robot.
Yes, which very is cool.
That's a robot!
It's cool, it's but why do we not see it again?
One of the robots from Earthshock.
They create this really good... concept and never use it again.
Well, it was because it was thrown in last minute because apparently Eric Sayward told Terrence Dix that, you know, the Doctor and Sarah need one more obstacle before they get there. Yeah. And we don't have a budget, so whatever it... Yeah, we don't have a big budget to fill in anything else, so whatever it is, it's got to be cheap. So,
so just a man in a silver leotard.
The man with a silver leotard throwing, you know... Spears at people.
They could have actually said it's chameleon gone rogue and just.
He was my favourite. He was brilliant.
It was definitely musically trained. I mean, they were some.
Oh, they were brilliant leads, they? Just so dramatic. And with the fan made one that I was watching, the sound effects were like. Dling! It was terrific. They could have done that so much better nowadays.
The sequence was actually not directed by Peter Moffat, who was the director of it. It was actually done by John Nathan Turner.
Oh, well done, Mr. JNT.
Yeah.
Matthew, I am going to take the recording of this podcast and the one we did 7 years ago, and I'll bet you if I replay what you just said with 7 years
ago. I'm sure I said it so back then, too.
Exactly the same way.
It is allowed. Anyway, so the Doctor sort of almost frames the Castellan as the big villain. And
the outtakes from this scene are funny.
No, not the mind probe.
Yes, you're allowed to use the mind probe. Yeah.
But he didn't things are burning and stuff. Someone calls off. From the production people going, put the fire out.
Anyway, right. The Second Doctor and the Brigadier stumble across a Yeti, just for the sake of it. And then a door appears.
They are underground, after all.
Yeah, a door appears.
Conveniently.
Yeah. Well, it's not convenient because they're going under to get to the tomb of Rassilon.
I think it was in the commentary that Terrence Dix says it's obvious that this was in a real cave, because otherwise Nicholas Courtney would be burning the place down where he's holding that torch.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking that while watching it, to be fair. We're back with the Third Doctor and Sarah, who are apparently keeping perfectly still so as the robot doesn't see them. For somebody who's told him to stay perfectly still, Sarah's staying perfectly still. The Doctor's waggling his head round like no one's business. And then a Cyberman turns up, and we have some great entertainment while the robot destroys a few Cybermen.
I love that whole scene.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah. And the vomiting Cyberman was particularly impressive.
Where did that come from?
Cyberman. I was literally sat watching it go, hang on.
what could a Cyberman possibly vomit?
I think reading something written years later, oil? I think David Banks in the Cyberman book says it's apparently supposed to be like nutrition fluid that keeps the organic parts of the Cyberman alive. Yeah. But that is a heck of a retcon to
that is a hell of an excuse from Rhys Parton's book, to be fair.
Honestly, like, after he killed the Cybermen, why was I expecting, like, a dance sequence?
Were you awake during this bit? I'm pretty sure you fell asleep at some point. But it was a great scene. I really enjoyed that. Anyway, so Third Doctor uses this sequence as an excuse to sort of hide and go into the caves and find some rope and stuff. So the fifth Doctor is sort of saying, well, hang on, why'd they kill the Castellan? He obviously hadn't done it after all, because he clearly looked really surprised when he's seen the box. What do you mean, hey?
No, I was going to say something about the Castellan.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he regenerate after being shot?
Yes. Why didn't they regenerate? Yes.
Depends on the stasis setting, apparently.
It depends on the requirement in the script of whether he's on his last regeneration. So there's a great bit of acting when Sarah sort of goes along the rope to go to the end of the the tower, and she's so pleased with herself that she managed to do it. So they're in.
Which is fine until they do the long shot of the tower later and you see the way the rope drops, and there's no way they could have ziplined from point A to point B.
Yeah.
How do you know how gravity works on that particular planet, Matthew?
Well, it does seem to have a pretty standard Earth gravity based on everything else. So
Tegan,
as Kirby would say, it's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
No, that's what I would say. You just nicked that particular
thing. Yeah, that's what Adam would say. Mm.
Anyway,
I was going to say, say something?
You were?
Cyberman, the Cyberman that comes along, makes a half-hearted attempt to untie the wire.
Yeah.
It was pretty useless because it did nothing.
That's because he was dying, and he died in the nick of time.
Just came along and died in a really half-hearted attempt.
Well, at least he made an attempt, Robert. I mean, anyway, meanwhile, cosplay Doctor and the Tegan stumble across like a chessboard thing.
Is he his pie?
And of course, the Doctor shows Tegan that it's a trap. Basically,
there's no way Pi can be involved.
We've established this, Kirby. So the Master turns up and actually is quite friendly to the First Doctor and tells him and Tegan to hide while he sort of fools the Cybermen into going across the chessboard and getting zapped. The cyber leader's left behind, but he kills him anyway.
I do like the fact that the First Doctor, even though he thinks Tegan's only sort of worthy of making a cup of tea at the beginning, he respects the fact that she doesn't like the Master, and so he's treating him with the same distrust. I do quite like that.
Yes, but we've never seen that the First Doctor sort of point a gun at anything. So this is obviously a cosplay Doctor, it's not the real one.
And you know what was funny also is that Tegan actually knew quite a bit about mathematics.
She did.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because she knows what pi was.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows what a pie is. I can't eat them though because I can't eat pastry. The Fifth Doctor meanwhile is poking around Bruce's office because he should be in there, but he's not. While we see the catacombs of Mike Yates and Liz Shaw.
Yes.
Which is quite charming in its own way, but also quite cheesy in another.
Yeah. I think it's just the way that it ends in that Caroline Johns, stop him!
Yes, it was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it was nice to see them, especially if you've watched obviously when the Five Doctor went out, I wasn't really familiar with Mike Yates and Liz Shaw, so it was a bit sort of, oh yeah, there must be old characters from Doctor Who. But as we've been watching this as a journey, we are familiar with those characters, or at least I hope you lot can remember them. I know Kyle might not be able to remember them, but Alicia should, because Alicia watched everything, well, apart from the stuff that wasn't...
Did everybody like the bubble
wrap? I was going to say, the bubble wrap jacket. That was amazing.
What bubble wrap jacket?
Yeah.
I didn't see a bubble wrap.
Zoe's outfit.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We haven't got to that bit, though, you naughty woman.
It wasn't me. He started it.
Anyway. So,
they made that outfit to disguise her pregnancy.
I'm so glad you laughed over what Kirby so I can hear him. That said, I'm going to carry on with the episode. So, meanwhile, the First Doctor the cosplay Doctor and Tegan managed to work out the pie thing and get across the chessboard, while the Second Doctor bumps into Jamie and bubble wrap dress. I mean, and Zoe.
Yes.
Again,
Zoe looks amazing.
Almost as cheesy as the previous scene.
But important to Doctor Who continuity, because it's essentially here that season 6B gets invented as an idea.
Ah. Exactly.
So, the fifth Doctor, meanwhile, discovers the harp, which has been sat there quite obviously in that room for quite a long time, and plays a note. Yeah, the harp of Rassilon. Plays a note on it. Of course, there's a clunking noise, which makes him realise he must be some sort of... Or locking mechanism. Now, regular contributors to the show will remember that I've been telling people to look out for those little square things that have appeared in Doctor Who quite regularly over the last previous 15 years or so. And they're in that scene as sort of adornments on the wall. Painted silver. Beg your pardon, Robert?
I was going to say, did anybody notice a continuity mistake?
What? Just the one?
What, 20 or 30 others?
They're supposed to know that their first adventure with the Doctor, that's what they were left with. But Patrick Chowden says, his Doctor says, no, that had no memory of me.
Yeah, I mentioned it. That's where Season 6B comes from, because people sat there tried to make sense of, well, why does Troughton know that, given it happened at the end of his era? And the answer, which Terrence Dicks himself picked up and ran with in a couple of books, is that the Second Doctor clearly has adventures somewhere between the War Games and Spearhead from Space.
Yeah.
Which is also one of the places where people seem to think that the Joe Martin Doctor
fits in.
I believe so, too.
Yeah, well, we've got to try and explain it away somehow. But there is a scene when he comes in to see the Brigadier. He does say he's not breaking the laws of time; he's bending them a little. So that's all
right. That's without getting into all the stuff of the two Doctors, which makes about as much sense as this scene. But that's a story for another podcast.
Indeed. Literally. Anyway, so to cut a long story short, the fifth Doctor works out that the picture on the wall are the notes he needs to play on the harp. And isn't he good at playing the harp? Wow.
Yeah, it's all of a sudden, yeah.
It was pretty coincidental.
It was coincidental. Terrible. But I suppose the Doctor's quite clever, isn't he? I don't know. He might have done... music at school.
How can he read the music as well?
He's the doctor.
Time Lord stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so meanwhile, in the big tomb room of Rassilon, the tomb of room of Rassilon, is that something? The first Doctor's already found the interesting hieroglyphs, and the second Doctor. And
the hieroglyphs that have the supposed Doctor's name on them.
Supposedly. Yes. The hieroglyphs and the second and third and the cosplay Doctor turn up, and then the Brigadier is there, and of course there's an interesting scene where the Brigadier says hello to Sarah and Tegan, because he obviously has met them both previously, quite recently in fact, in Tegan's case.
Yeah.
And then we go. Then they all start trying to outdo each other on who knows what.
I love that scene.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really good. But of course they say a little bit too much, because who's listening in the background? The Master. That's exactly what I wanted to know. So, and quite rightly so, the Master has a bit of a go at them, because he has been trying to help them. But
I've been trying to help you. Will somebody believe me?
Yeah. And I love the scene where he aims the phallic object at them, and the Brigadier comes round the hind and chops him in the back of the head.
Yes. Nice to see you again.
Slap.
So, Turlough and is it Susan the thing? Turlough and Susan, isn't it? And stuck in the TARDIS.
Yes.
They're having a sort of bomb arrangement, rather over elaborate bomb arrangement. Sort of assembled by the Cybermen, while the Doctor, Fifth Doctor, goes in to see Barusa, who's decided to change into a black outfit to indicate that he's now officially a baddie.
Evil.
Oh,
he's wearing
his white outfit for kings, and then he runs to his little black room with put on his black clothes. I mean, sounds a little creepy to me.
And the lovely Rassilon things.
The coronet of Rassilon.
It's always the case. Okay, I'm bad now. Changes into all dark colours.
Yes,
I'm always bad.
Pantomimical. That's a word, isn't it? Pantomimical. I've used that on the show before.
Very nice.
No.
So anyway, there's a great scene actually when he tells the Doctor to kneel. No, he didn't say kneel, does he? He said, bow down before me. And, of course, he just knelt. So that was the thing.
maybe that's where they got the idea for the scene with Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah, in Spyfall.
But he didn't actually kneel, though, did he? Bowed. No, that's the other way around. He said bow, but he... Nice anyway, back to the story. Isn't it so interesting we're talking about picky little things like that? So,
we always talk about picky little things like that.
Have you heard this podcast before?
Just before the TARDIS is about to be blown to smithereens, it gets called into the tomb of Rassilon.
And yeah, but the TARDIS is indestructible.
Yeah, well, it's because the Third Doctor reversed the polarity of the neutron flow.
Well, there's a bit of that too.
Exactly.
Well, that old chestnut.
Yeah, that was his bit. Everybody has bit in this.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Fifth Doctor has temporarily had his mind taken over by Barusa, but because all the other Doctors are there, they're able to contact each other and overcome Barusa because there's more than one of them. And
just like the Three Doctors.
Yeah, just like the Three Doctors. And then suddenly Rassilon wakes up. In the version I watched...
He's in a disco.
In the version I've watched, his voice went very deep and weird.
Well, it's because if you watch the original version, his voice is almost as light as mine is.
Yeah.
The original version is the correct version.
Say so, Kurt.
And the same, I agree. And the same thing happens, like you said, about all the doctors say, oh, no, don't listen to him, you shouldn't listen to him. And then the First Doctor says, oh, no, let him have what he wants. Because obviously, being the youngest, he'd be the wisest, apparently.
Right.
So, to cut a long story short, Rassilon gives Barusa the immortality he wants, and this the scene at the time, even though I wasn't that old or young when I watched this when it went out, seeing all those sort of faces in the side of the tomb with the eyes wiggling around was quite creepy.
That was great. That was really good.
It's very nice.
Yes.
It was nice, but it's scary.
When Barusa goes down there, his face is still pink. Should be painted stone cold.
Well, it's because he just got there.
Yeah, he just
Robert.
Got there, Robert. Yeah. Give him a chance.
Yeah. He just got there.
He's all excited, so the flush takes him.
Anyway, so he got his immortality. The doctors are offered immortality. They say no thanks, and then the doctor says, "Oh, can we send everybody back to where they need to go?" So they all say their goodbyes, and of course Kirby's quote of the goodbye. End of most episodes: "Goodbye, fancy pants."
Well, actually, I've
Scarecrow.
Noticed that I'm Scarecrow. Saying it wrong. It's goodbye, fancy pants.
Okay, so you don't put the pause in.
Yeah. I don't put the pause in because our goodbyes are very, very quick.
Yes.
Let's see if I can isolate it. Hang on. Here you are, Kirby.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
No, I need to say it, fancy pants.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Pants.
And so they all say goodbye, and then the doctor is given the presidential seat on Gallifrey.
Master.
Oh God, here we go. Yes, I know he's already been president.
Before that, as all the doctors leave, there's the proper way that they leave with all the little TARDISes going off in different directions, and then there's the swirly ice cream way that they do it in the new version.
But it's all set up.
I have to say, that's the one thing I wish the special edition had from the original that it doesn't is that particular effect.
Yeah, I don't know why they took it away.
They could have smartened it up.
Yeah, it worked well. I quite liked the TARDIS is going rather than the triangly things. Anyway, it was all set up so as Tegan could say, "Oh, you're choosing to go on the run from your own people in a rackety old TARDIS." And he says,
not?
"Of course,
that's how it all started."
And then we have the charming original version of the theme tune mixed up to merge in with the current one, which was quite good.
Yes.
Right then, so we got there. We got through. How long did that take? 53 minutes. Not too bad. We've skipped through and half the way through. Right. So we traditionally, everybody, have me discussing what I thought about it. It was okay. It's nostalgic. Wasn't very good story wise. But it's nice to see all the characters together again, and have a little dabble with Sarah. I mean, I was always upset when Sarah Jane had to go. So it was nice to have her back. It was only how many years? 6 years after she left, something like that. Probably less. So it was
more than that.
Was it more?
Wasn't it 76 you left?
Yeah, 76. So
and this was 83.
Useless at math. Seven? Six or seven?
This is more or less what I bloody well said. Anyway, so
it's
not
six, Adam. So it's not six.
But the trouble is, that's the problem. The actual story was sort of masked by the exciting inputs for the fans, you know, these sort of little sort of tidbits for the fans. But it did rather mask that, so the story was a bit naff. But it's a charming little celebration of Doctor Who, wasn't it, really? They might as well have just put a little documentary on, which they did anyway. But, yeah, I think they could have done better. I think they've done better previously and since in regards to anniversary specials. This one was let down, obviously, by Tom Baker refusing to be in it.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was okay. It's a disappointment, I'd say, as a sort of anniversary special. But it's not unwatchable. It's always nice to watch from time to time. Because there's lots and lots of quotes in it, which I can say, you know, some really good things.
Yeah.
About it. Now, somebody next to me is itching to say what she thought of it. Well, you've been sat there wriggling and fidgeting for blooming.
Well, I can't sit still.
And you struggled to stay awake during while we were actually watching it. So, what do you think then, Isabella?
It was boring. Like, I felt as if it dragged too much.
Is that it?
I don't know. I haven't been on here for ages. Okay, don't judge me. But like, yeah, it was okay. It was just, I wouldn't watch it again.
No, nor would I. So don't worry about it. It's fine.
Well, of the whole group, is the only one that I think saw it for the first time.
Yeah, you saw it.
So yours would be a first time.
There's quite a few of us only saw it for the first time, isn't it, Kyle?
It was indeed, yes.
Oh,
I started off at the Ninth Doctor. So anything prior to that. Never seen it.
So you've never seen any classic Doctor? Oh God, what a terrible one to start with.
Oh, why have I?
Okay, sorry.
This is actually a story that a lot of people saw as their first classic story.
Yeah,
really.
No wonder nobody watched it.
Yeah, it was mine back in 2007, actually.
Wow. Yeah, if you don't know Doctor Who, it's pointless watching this as your first story.
Yeah, so I disagree. I disagree. As somebody who came to Doctor Who through this story, this was. You know, I'd seen bits and pieces of it way back in 2000, but it wasn't until 2007 that I got back into Who in a big way. And this was the story that got me into it in a big way because it was sitting in my local public library. And for me, it was the perfect introduction to the show because, as I said, I had this really dim kind of back of my mind emotion of what it was. And watching this and suddenly being introduced to the whole world of the show. And it was actually – I got done with it and I went – well, who are all these people? I want to watch them. And it's actually what spurred me into getting into the show.
Well, we stand corrected.
Ah. Okay, fair enough.
And you are not the only person I've heard say that.
Really? Okay. Wow. Maybe maybe this is the one time in 10 years I've been wrong. But anyway, carry on, Kyle.
it was all right for me because I had Alicia sort of telling me through everything and all this sort of. So she was guiding me. It was all right. I mean, it was visually a disaster. It was visually terrible.
Infidels.
But it was good, but I don't understand how all five doctors can be in the same space at the same time. So where's
the fancy science fiction show then?
Yeah. All timey wimey, wibbly wobbly. And
where there's a script, there's a way.
There's only really four doctors. There wasn't really five.
I know, because one got...
That's what I said!
Yes, because one of them got stuck in a time eddy, right? They did in the three doctors.
That's just a cop-out.
Why is he with Eddie, anyway?
The four doctors.
But like I say, the same thing happened with the Day of the Doctors. Eccleston was supposed to be in it, and they had to cast John Hurt to play the Eccleston part. Hence, we ended up with the War Doctor.
Well, it's really the three and a half doctors because of the cosplay doctor.
True.
Yeah, three and a half.
But, you know, but it was, well, the cosplay doctor might have worked better if they'd gone with the original Robert Holmes script where it was supposed to have been an android first doctor, which was supposed to explain why he didn't quite look or act the way that we remembered Hartnell doing it, but they decided not to go with that.
That would have made more sense.
Is it the chase that there's a Hartnell double?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harks back to that then.
So anyway,
well, it's not as bad as the guy they had playing Hartnell in that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awful.
So, have you done, Kyle?
I'm done. That's my.
What about Alicia?
I'm like a dog's dinner.
Alicia, what did you think?
It was boring, and it was rubbish acting throughout.
Rubbish, sounds like Mary.
Rubbish acting all round.
Yeah, the acting was terrible.
It was horrible. It was just so confusing. I just did not get it.
Thank you.
All right. So, all right, that's on the negative. So, was anything positive about it?
K9 was in it.
Yes.
For 5 seconds.
Yeah, and that was it. That was the only positive side to it.
Seeing K9.
Okay. Debbie, what did you think?
Are you getting around to me at some point?
No. Debbie, what did you think?
Honestly, if Kirby wants to go first, he can.
Ooh.
Well, do you need to go to the toilet, Kirby? Or
no.
Okay. Well, okay, Debbie's handed it over to you. What did you think of it then, Kirby?
I think that out of all of us, I love this one.
Uh-oh.
It's one of my favorites. Although, Matthew, I think you have it as much in high esteem as I do.
I do too.
What was that? for Adam and Debbie, did you see this one when it went out?
Yes.
Can't remember.
Oh.
Well, I have in my hand.
Definitely seen it before.
my 1983 calendar. Oh, and you know that
I would have been six that December.
Here in the U.S., they actually saw the Five Doctors 2 days before you saw it, Adam. It was broadcast on the actual anniversary in the U.S. Now I
didn't Australia get it before as well?
I'm not sure. I didn't see it for the broadcasts for that broadcast. I saw it 2 days later, the exact same day that you saw it, Adam, because someone had recorded it, and I went to a convention, ShambaniCon 13 in Champaign, Illinois, and saw it that evening. And I saw it and instantly loved it. I know it's cheesy. It's got...
I thought you were going to say something else then for a minute. When you said,
it's cheesy. It's got some bad acting. It's got easy as pie. I don't care.
The broadcast date was changed because of Children in Need, actually.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
But I absolutely adore this story. I can watch it. I can put this DVD on. It's got to be the transmission version. and I can watch it at any time. I will drop whatever I'm doing and watch this.
Well, you can.
I am so very fond of it.
Kirby, there is treatment available for your condition.
Yeah, be on a Doctor Who podcast for 9 years.
Will you stop fidgeting?
No.
Hasn't worked, though.
Right then, Debbie, what did you think of it?
Well, it's definitely a loving tribute. And it is bursting at the seams with everybody that we know and love and is just brilliant for the fact that you're going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. But it's not much substance. So it's not got a huge place in my heart. But there are some absolutely fantastically funny bits in it that really do make up for it. And the fan-made version that I watched was hysterical with every scene change, having some kind of ding or bling or something going on every time, and it became hysterical by the end of it.
I can't wait to see that version.
And
I can wait to see it.
I have shared it as requested.
Yes.
But I'm sorry. I don't like it very much. I found it very boring.
Okay, that's fine, Debbie. Right then, who else we got left now? Matthew.
Well, as I said, I mean, this was I consider my introduction to Classic Who, and it has a special place in my heart for that. And I have to say, I adore it as much as Kirby does. There's a lot for me as a Classic Who fan, both going into it and now coming back to it after 13 years now since the first time I saw it. There's a lot to enjoy in it. It is very kind of candy in that respect that it's –
it's the same, you know, it is basically you're getting all your treats at once. It's very sweet and it is very nostalgic. Is it perfect? No, it's not. And, you know, Richard Hartnell, for example, who was really cast because he sort of bore a resemblance to Hartnell rather than the fact that he actually, you know, could actually play that part.
He looks as much like Hartnell as I do, I mean, Chris Hemsworth, just saying.
Well, I mean, at the time they felt he did, and there was the funny thing is especially when they put the wig on him.
Saying Adam didn't have the hair to be Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if I had the wig on, I might. Especially Endgame version.
I wasn't going to say that, but since you mentioned it, Adam. Hartnell was cast because Ian Levine had seen him in an episode of Blake 7, the episode escapes me, and went to Don Nathan Turner and went, he looks just like Hartnell. And at the time, it has to be said, if you read like the letters to the Radio Times and some of the fan reviews that are circulating online, people thought he was a lot like Hartnell. It's only been in the last 15-20 years where we've had the Hartnell era, what survives of it anyways, on VHS and now DVD and streaming, that we've been able to go back to it and go, actually, maybe not. Yeah, I mean, it has a lot going into it, and it is overloaded, but keeping in mind that it was a script that was essentially thrown together at the last minute because, you know, they didn't know who was going to be available, and also they had a complete change of writers and scripts partway through the process. Because Robert Holmes handed in something that was apparently unfilmable, which seems hard to believe, but having read the outline of that, or, you know, the chunks of it that are floating around online, I can also believe it at the same time.
Oh, I'm going to do you on that when it's my turn.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I mean,
for me, there's plenty to enjoy, especially if you're a classic Who fan. It's kind of like having everything in one place, and you can just sort of sit there and enjoy it. Partly it's a nostalgia trip, and, it's a nostalgia trip, sure, but it's, you know, if you're a classic Who fan and you're predispositioned towards it, unlike certain people whose names I won't mention, you can very much enjoy it, I think. And there's certainly nothing wrong with it in my mind in that regard. It's not the greatest Doctor Who story ever made. Nope. It's not the greatest anniversary story or multi-doctor story.
Nope.
But you could waste 90 to 100 minutes a lot worse.
Exactly.
Get in. Oh, don't bother getting in then. Sorry, the dog wanted to come in, then decided he didn't. He heard Kirby's voice and then decided he's not coming in.
Yeah, then run off.
Sorry, are you done, Matthew?
I am done, yes.
Okay, then. Robert, what did you think?
I'm with those guys. I love it as well.
Yay!
I remember borrowing a video from it because I hadn't taped it at the time. I don't think I had a videotape to record it on or something. So I borrowed a friend's and I was writing down a transcript of it and only got so far. But I knew, I think, the first 30 minutes off by heart by writing that transcript. So the lines always come fresh to me. But I really love it. I love that it's got a lot of callbacks to the past, and I always keep in mind the difficulties Terrence Dix had in writing the script, and you know, certain people aren't available, whatever, etc., and change of writers from, you know, Holmes. So I think he did quite an admirable job in getting you know, people in, even like, you know, the brief cameos, which are a bit naff, at least he had them in there and they, you know, get to say a couple of lines, and you know, it's a good celebration for, you know, all the things that you get in the Doctor Who story. So I mean, even if some things, like, I can pick apart, you know, the season 6B or whatever it is that Matthew goes on about, that conundrum, you know, I forgive it that, because it's, you know, it's just a celebration of you know, the past.
And little Doctor Who cake.
All you could want. And I absolutely love the Cybermen dismemberments. that was such a good scene, and Yeah, maybe JNT could have been a director.
Yeah.
They would all be wearing Hawaiian shirts probably, though.
Yes.
But yeah, I love it. Okay. And I love the original version.
Yes. Okay, right then. Stand by, everybody. Brace yourselves, because you know what's coming.
Hooray!
What do you think of it, Mary?
Well, I mean, what can any of us say? It's a party, convention, anniversary story. So it's got everybody we love in it. It's got all these wonderful bits that they were all, you know, set to do to help us recall how wonderful they were. And in truth, I don't think the story, excuse me, was that bad. You know, I mean, if you're going to cram all this into it, I think that Terrence Dix did a fairly decent job of trying, you know, writing in everything. My exception is with the acting. It seems like everybody was just pretty much standing around waiting for their turn to say their line. So the whole thing just lacks that energy that that I think would have driven this story to a little higher level. I mean, a good example is Castellan is sitting at that table while they're accusing him of, you know, oh, we found this box in his room and it's got these scrolls, you know, the scrolls of Rassilon in them that then set on fire. And the actor playing
the fire of Rassilon.
Yeah, the fire of Rassilon. The actor is basically just sitting there with this pleasant look on his face, you know, waiting until they're done talking about him. And then he says, you know, oh, you know, that wasn't me, you know. And it's like, where was his, you know, enthusiasm, yeah, his acting, his outrage when they were, yeah, accusing him? But he's just pleasantly sitting there waiting for his turn. And that's pretty much the way the whole thing was going. Everybody's just kind of standing around and gently gesturing to one another, you know. And it's like, it just takes all the enthusiasm, energy, and interest out of a story that could have been a lot better.
Mm. Now there's how much of... Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. I have a few pieces of information that I think might interest you. I mean, we already mentioned that it went through two writers, Robert Holmes being the original writer, and he didn't write an undoable script. He just was in constant arguments with Nathan Turner about the script he wanted to write versus what Nathan Turner wanted to have in it, because I guess he had quite a laundry list and was after, you know, whenever he'd go over the Holmes script, he would always, oh, you got to have this and you got to have that. And then the two of them fought so much that Holmes then quit. So then it went to Terrence Dix. And this also...
So it's an undoable script by definition if Robert Holmes took the script and basically went, you can't film this, which funnily enough is what Eric Saward does at the end of his tenure as script editor with the ultimate foe on Trial of Time Lord, too.
Okay.
Just a thought.
This also went through three directors. The original director was supposed to be Waris Hussein, because as a big anniversary thing, they wanted him to come back and direct this, because, as we all know, he directed An Unearthly Child. He's the one who started it all. But he ended up not being available. So then I can't think of his name.
Douglas Camfield.
Douglas Camfield.
Camfield, thank you, who has been wanting to direct a Doctor Who story again. But then it turns out that he couldn't either, so then it fell.
Yeah, but he was also very sick, and he died early the next year.
Okay, so then it fell to Moffat to do the directing. And this thing had been planned for 2 years previous to the actual anniversary. So if you're wondering why things don't flow from the last story we saw into this one, it's because, you know, this was going on very independently of what we were seeing in this season's episodes. Mm-hmm. Something else I read was that because of the new cameras that they were using, the video cameras and that I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed it right off, that the check patterns on the first and second Doctor's pants were quite different. They were very large checks, and Jamie's tartan also had really large checks on it instead of the way it usually is. Because what they found when the actors would wear the small checked things like they originally wore,
the camera or something,
that it would cause strobing on the pictures. Mm-hmm. So they tried to recreate them, but then enlarge everything so that I noticed it right away. It's like, ooh, why are they wearing such different
huge platform?
Yeah. And there's two reasons why Tom Baker was not included in this. One is that he wanted to see the script before he would agree to do it, and they would not agree to write a script with him in it, you know, and then have to go back and change it if he decided not to do it. And the other reason is that he vocalized to people that he didn't want to swamp the story, because he felt that his presence, you know, having just been the previous Doctor, that his presence would be so large, you know, that it would kind of overshadow what else was going on. So for those two reasons, he chose not to do it.
And hasn't he since said that he does wish that he had been in it?
Yeah, he has said in interviews that he regretted not doing it, and that was one of his reasons why he agreed, even with his health issues, he agreed to do the cameo in Day of the Doctor, was because I think he sensed that this might be the last time he'd be asked to do it, so he wanted to make sure he did it because he'd missed out before.
Hard to get along with, and I won't do it. It's just two reasons. Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you earlier, Mary, but I had the thought when you mentioned everybody's lack of enthusiasm in the performances. And there's a part of me that wonders how much of that's down to the direction of Peter Moffat.
Because
I mean, he started out as
he's that type of guy.
Yeah, he started very stylishly directing and getting performances out of people. You think about State of Decay and The Visitation, for example. And there's sort of somewhere, I don't know if it's because he was brought in so regularly because he was one of J&T's favorite directors, but it's around this time that it's like his direction sort of loses something, and there's less pace, there's less energy, there's less style to it, and it's more, okay, I'm going to point the camera at the actors and hope for the best.
Yeah, but I mean, I still think it would have been a decent story had people given more of themselves to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thank you, Mary. I presume you finished what you were saying.
I am finished.
Well done. I'd have to say a round of applause, Mary.
You've had a bit of feedback on the live feed.
Good. Oh, yes, I was going to say that. Thank you, Debbie. Yes, Lillian Robin says, I'm very fond of this story. I remember sitting with my dad watching it when I was 6. Debbie and I are the same age. So you're both 21 then. Fantastic. Kyle.
Hello.
Now, I have to ask you. Now, obviously, you've been rather traumatised by watching your first ever classic Doctor Who story. Are you prepared to have another go at maybe at a better story?
Yes.
Splendid. Oh, we'll have to think of something for you. It might not necessarily fall into the pattern of the show.
Caves of Androzani is good.
Come back for Caves of Androzani. That's good. Before, obviously, this is just a taster, because when we move on to New Who, which is probably next year, the way things are going, that's your field of expertise. You just have to make yourself available for Sunday evenings.
Well, at this current rate, I should be free every Sunday evening.
Well, let's hope that's not a permanent thing for all our...
Even in lockdown, I've not been. It's been very odd.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Right. This is the first time. We need to hear Debbie's views of the last several stories that she has.
The last two. Oh, it was God the last sake. Two.
No, maybe
one,
later.
Okay, the last one, but one. Meh, yeah. And the last one. Yeah, all right, there you go.
Well done, Debbie. I'll give you a ding. Okay, we better move on to feedback while we've... stop huffing. It's not my fault people send us in messages. Right then, Kirby, did you put up a request on the Tony Megabyte Doc 2 podcast Facebook group which you can join?
You did too, but fortunately
you
nobody
that microphone?
Answered yours.
Pardon?
Fortunately.
Oh.
Hey?
Did you say they answered mine?
No. You put up a request as well.
Did I?
But it seemed like it.
No, I was just putting a reminder that of this particular. I didn't ask for.
Nobody commented on it anyway.
What about yours then? I can't find yours anywhere.
Of course,
he just has to say that.
Yes, he knows that it's probably going to end up with some points deducted for.
Mine's the one that's got the three doctors looking at the or the two and a half.
Oh, that's it. Yes, doctors. Blatantly obvious what it was. Yes, well done. Yes, carry on then while I queue up the rest of it.
Okay, Jeff says nowhere near half as good as fandom makes out, which sounds about what Jeff would say. Then I quoted the whole business from 2013.
Yeah, please don't quote it again.
Jeff responded, "See, this is my whole argument. The whole Chibnall has destroyed canon argument. It changes absolutely nothing. What it does is give an explanation, whereas it's classic Who that was tied up in knots over the whole regeneration thing." And then Lillian says, "Yay, I felt like y'all were dismissing the article I linked to. I feel better because you did discuss it, even though you didn't know that was what you were discussing."
Yeah, we're for the course for 20 megabytes.
Is that a derogatory comment there, Matthew?
Of course not, Adam.
Oh, okay.
Of course
not.
Adam then reminded me that I forgot to mention that it was 10th anniversary episode, but I've got the Book of Excuses open.
Oh, God.
Already?
when I posted the request for feedback, I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was like 2:30 or 3 in the morning when I posted that. So I forgot that it was the 10th anniversary.
Now, it's funny to say, you've just reminded me of the weird dream I had last night, in which I was lying down in the room where some people just wandered past, one of which was Tom Holland dressed in a stripy onesie, and another load of people went through, and I just said to them, "Well, Tom Holland's just gone through wearing a stripy onesie." And I looked up, and he was sat on top of me, going, "Hello!"
Yeah, this says that I posted this at 2:31 a.m., so... Mm. Anyway, after you reminded me about the 10th anniversary, I went back and added that it was 10th anniversary. Jeff says yes. He's promised not to interrupt anyone by saying "Masta" for a whole podcast. Robert Wentz Jr., "So how can you tie this with the Doctor being the timeless child, or can it be?" Alan T. Butcher says, "It finally explains why the Doctor's real name is written on the obelisk in Rassilon's tomb." I then point to the same article that Lillian pointed to. Alan says, "Yes, a somewhat broadly studied article with a slightly shaky headline, but generally sensible."
Generally.
I can't find any of these comments anywhere. Right. I'm trying to find them.
Stop, because if I'm reading a sentence and I have the entire screen shift.
Nice one, Robert. Yeah, please don't do that. It's dragging things out a little bit. It's funny, though.
And Matthew just did it, too.
Right, that's it.
Robert Wentz Jr. says, "Remember, this is the name of Rassilon 1, Song of, Tomb of." Do we want to have either... Mary or Debbie read Laurie Nex's one?
Why?
Because they're women.
So?
What?
Because.
What? Just read it.
I'd read it if I could find it.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, no.
Laurie Nex. It's just I.
Go on.
Just get on and read it.
I put on my fuzzy robe and slippers of Rassilon to rescreen it. Yes, a bit overrated by fans and a tad awkward. However, still fun to watch and looks like a masterpiece. No pun intended, or is it, after last week's Yawn Fest. I recall on first viewing enjoying it because I'd never seen the Second Doctor and the substitute first before and their companions, but at the same time being disappointed with the lack of the fourth. But in retrospect, I suspect that he would have walked all over everyone else's performances.
Yes, yeah,
so good to see Sarah Jane, despite her horrid maternity outfit.
Oh, she was pregnant.
She says Davidson. It's Davidson.
Oh. Oh, seems naughty.
Seems to be having a good time with the others, and it shows in his performance. I wonder where all those action figures are today. Hey, I asked the same thing.
Actually, John Nathan Turner has them.
Of course, he can't. He's dead.
Well, he can in his coffin.
Of course, being out of box, they wouldn't be worth very much. Wink. Robert Wentz Jr. says, "Watching the Five Doctors with the David Tennant comments, the Omnibus edition." Yeah, I've listened to that once. I need to do that again. He also says, "Review of the Five Doctors. May not be the greatest Doctor Who story, but an enjoyable one. At the time this came out in 1983, I was in college my first year. I missed Terrence Dix. He gave us some great stories. It would have been interesting to see what it would have been like if Robert Holmes stayed with it. He was put off by the shopping list they had for him, like having an android doctor. It's great to see the past actors who played the doctor. The whole play the game for immortality was okay, but seeing the doctors and the companions working together was worth it. I did miss Tom Baker because he was my doctor. Peter Davison, and he spells it right, had place, which was fair because he was the doctor at the time. It was announced that Colin Baker was going to be the next actor becoming the doctor. The story wasn't compacted, just overdrawn. 190 minutes. It's not that long.
No, it's not that long.
It's 120 minutes, my one.
That's yeah. Like 3 hours.
No, 1 hour and 20 minutes.
was just too long. It was just too long. Even in childhood, it had the boring parts. The whole thing, I enjoyed the ride, even though the road was bumpier than anything. On the same plane of the three doctors without gel guards and Omega! 4 out of 5.
Omega!
We're getting there, everyone. Dead. We're getting there.
I'm getting there. Yeah, I've got to try it every time it happens.
Yeah. Neil James.
Well, boy. Neil James goes on forever here.
No, he doesn't. It's not as long as one of Alan's feedbacks.
Honestly, come on.
Hey, I just provided lots of long feedback, didn't I?
That's what she said. Oh, no, first... that doesn't work, does it?
No.
Are you done?
Carry on.
People were talking over me.
Sorry.
Now you know how it feels. I saw this
in
1984 when the BBC repeated it in episodic form over 4 consecutive evenings. Having watched Peter Davison turn into Colin Baker a few months beforehand, 4-year-old me was overjoyed to have my doctor back again. The pre-title with William Hartnell was well-selected, although at the time I was a bit confused as to who this old dude was. I like the new TARDIS console, very 80s. The location work is suitably atmospheric, and it looks freezing. Yeah. I love Patrick Troughton swanning into the unit HQ like he owns the place. He's wonderful. John Pertwee also slips effortlessly back into his role, and it's pretty cool to see Bessie. It always bothered me that Susan didn't get a time scoop kidnap scene, but it's great to see her again. Likewise, the Brig Sarah and even K-9. Richard Herndl does a terrific job as Doc Number 1. He doesn't really copy Hartnell. Instead, he does his own thing, and it works really well. I especially like his frosty scenes with Tegan. Sarah's perilous fall down a small, messy slope is ridiculous. The Cyberman saying, ah, to himself is too funny. The Wrestle Warrior robot is a marvelous creation. The way it takes down a whole troop of Cybermen is masterful. Yeah. Talking of masters, I think this is probably Ainley's best performance in the role. He genuinely sells his frustration that no one believes he is there to help. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm impressed and pleased that despite the star presence of Troughton and Pertwee, the script still keeps the fifth Doctor at the heart of the story and allows him to be the lead character. It's a shame that the first Doc saves the day. It should have been the fifth Doc, while he is the most experienced. So to sum it up, not a great story, but it is a great celebration. And for that reason, plus my childhood nostalgia, I have to give it 5 out of 5.
Whoa.
Excellent.
Over marks, but never mind.
I'll skip Ian.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I posted the street view of where Danger, Mr. Danger is.
How fascinating.
Robert Wentz Jr. says, need to find a Blu-ray copy of one. This is the one I've got now. And that's the good one. That's the same one I now have.
Same here.
I also have that very first one.
And you're going to write what you said.
You're drifting, Kirby.
Read what you said, Kirby.
And Robert Wentz Jr. says, Happy Mother's Day, Mary, the Two Debbies, and others.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.
Others?
Is that it?
Yes, right. Like, Terry Miles says, Hi, Adam, happy birthday. Hi, 20 megabiters, happy 10th anniversary. The 10th, as a Five Doctors story, sorry, it was really 4 stories. One from below, one from above, one using the front door, and one set in Barusa's office. Each doctor making their way to the tower, all apart from Dr. Tom, who was still waiting to star in Shada with Romana 2. As the current doctor, number 5, had to go to the city and win the day, but with Dr. 1 working it out before him, and they won the day and Barusa got his prize. Small problems with the plot can be forgiven, as they were not meant to be watched in HD. Sarah Jane falling down the steep slope, that made me laugh, and of course it would have not been Susan if she had twisted, because she would have twisted her ankle. Dr. One sat on a large rock and that sounded hollow and was so light that it moved when he sat down. I liked that Dr. Two and the Brig were fighting Yeti. Dr. Three even managed to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow to close down the shield to allow the TARDIS to arrive. I did enjoy the story. I like it. It had a point and made sense unlike the previous story. Next we get the Base Under Siege story, Silurians and Sea Devils. Don't give the spoilers away, Terry. Oh dear, everybody knows now. Oh dear.
I mean, the story did air in 1984.
Well, yeah. Right then, guess what?
You actually have not.
Hello, friends of the Web Podcast. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
You can create your own non-echoing cubicle for podcasting by fastening several duvets to the walls and door of a closet. And you will have made your own padded cell. The Five Doctors by Terence Dix. They had put Chameleon in the cupboard and never mentioned him until he begged for death. Instead, I think they should have had a ringing joke when he kept looking like Tegan, with Tegan getting annoyed. She does tend to get annoyed.
Yes.
This story features the second, third and fifth Doctors, and a clip of the Tom from Sharda. William Hartnell did not appear, on account of him being dead for 8 years. Also, someone who claims to be the first Doctor appeared. We have the familiar concept of episode time. The present is affected by things past, only because they're in the same script. The fifth Doctor first faint when the other Doctors were captured years ago, because we have just seen those effects in the episode. The director persuaded Elizabeth Sladen that he could make her lying on a slope look like she was clinging to a ledge. A bit of a low point.
Exactly.
The plot is seeking a treasure through a perilous maze, something we've seen before in Doctor Who. It was wonderful to see the old cast members again. Necessarily, they each get little screen time, especially those who had other commitments. G&T managed to get an investment of $60,000 for this story from a place called Australia. And another former colony got to see it first. Wales stands in for Galloway. I mean Gallifrey. This story is all about nostalgia, the old Doctors, the old companions, the old enemies. So why introduce the Rastan robot? Why have a young man leaping around in a skin-tight outfit? Unless J&T like that kind of thing. You will be listening to Ian Kirk. Now wash your hands. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you. Oh, that's a good one, Ian.
Right then, now, we have one last bit of feedback left.
Master?
Oh, God, Master. Yes.
He said something that reminded me of something with that I meant to bring up while we're going over the story.
All right.
The above, between, below.
Yeah.
As each Doctor opens the door to go in, all three of them, above, between, and below, say after you, and it's the companion who goes in first.
Yes.
Well, that's typical Doctor
and
Who.
Don't forget the and the above, between, below also gets repeated in Age of Steel in the new series when they have to infiltrate the factory, the Sidus factory.
Yes.
We'll be coming up to that soon. Right, there is one bit of feedback left now. Miss Pearson, would you like to have a go at that? This will be quite interesting, won't it? Hang on, I'll get it up on the iPad so you might be able to follow it a bit better.
Yes, please.
Would you like to accept the challenge? Or evil laughter from Deb.
Sorry.
I can't seem to find Google Mail. I'll have to leave it off the screen then. I don't think I'll make it any bigger than that.
Oh, no.
Right, okay. Right, do you want to have a go at that? Can you see it?
Can I read? I don't know.
Can you see it? This iPad hasn't got Gmail on it, I'm afraid. So.
G-string.
Today'd be nice if you wouldn't mind.
I don't know if I can read it. Like.
Try not to knock the microphone.
Well, it's not really a microphone. It's a camera
staring
into my soul.
Microphone. Can we do the countdown?
Can someone else read it? I can't read it. Oh, this someone is so else tiny. Read it.
That, I thought that might happen.
It's
right
so
then,
tiny.
Backup plan. Mary, you've just got something in your inbox.
Suddenly very worried about the state of the British education system.
It was so tiny.
Yeah, excuse me, the British education system has completely collapsed since COVID shut all the schools.
Yes. So people forget how to read in the
interim. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been quite difficult, actually.
Considering I had to choose my GCSEs in year 8.
That's fine. Alicia, can you still read?
No. Not that I work on live chat at all. I can't type, I can't read.
Is it not a requirement on live chat to spell correctly though?
Well, that's what spell check's for.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Isla's reading the Jungle Book with the school at the moment, so we get at least a couple of pages a day done.
Okay then. Right then, Mary, did you get the document?
Okay. I thought we'd mention that, you know, she would be the one.
Yeah, I know. I was quite surprised. I've had Messenger open for the last half hour.
I did mention dulcet tones last week.
My dulcet tones as dulcet as Mary's. There you go.
All right. Barossa underestimates the timeless child.
Don't pronounce anything wrong, Mary. Kirby is on the show. Just like to point that one out. Just a bit of advice for you.
Or, no, not the mind probe of Rassilon. Dear 20 megabiters, the Five Doctors is, of course, a closely studied examination of the concept of self and the exhortation of the triumph of youth. By starting with the dismissing of the Doctor as parts of his past are scooped out of time, we see the very pointed reality that the then current and very beige Fifth Doctor unsurprisingly fades almost to nothing without those more colorful former selves and the relationships they have had to others. That's a nice connection he makes there. I think that's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Barossa, an aged public servant and leader, is shown to have exhausted his value to that role precisely by having lost perspective on his own indispensability. Thinking he knows best, he makes mistakes, such as involving the timeless child, and creates an over-elaborate plan to obtain perpetual bodily regeneration. He fails to understand that the appearance of youth is not its virtue, but its freshness of mind is. Therefore, there is a narrow escape from Barossa's imminent failure as the youngest doctor in the room realizes the truth that the game of Rassilon is all about a failsafe against the pitfalls of immortality long ago debated and resolved by the Time Lords. So it is that the youthful First Doctor saves the day by stopping himself from saving the day. It should be noted that whilst some suggest that the story suffers here in order to accommodate so many characters and lead roles, others point out that, yes, obviously, but don't you think you may be missing the point? We also learn that Rassilon really knows how to keep a secret, build a truly legendary legacy, control his facial hair, and wear a hat. My brother also thought he learned that the master's real name was Jehoshaphat, since apparently he failed to pick up on what was obvious traditional remark of exasperation, or possibly he was deliberately trying to annoy me. All in all, The Five Doctors is a flawed masterpiece of celebration for our much-loved program. The truth is, it succeeds magnificently in celebrating the show's 20th anniversary and gives a lot to do to everybody except K-9, which is in many ways another triumph.
And
by working out a clear and traditional quest framework within which to hang the narrative, Terrence Dix brings to bear his huge experience and talents. He also managed to leave in some apparently careless incongruities, which seem not to make sense, but are fascination hooks for later revelations. Indeed. There is credit due also to the production team for being so ambitious and to the cast for playing so well together. Even the gaps left by the two actors who respectively would and could not take part were filled with imagination and with an attitude commensurate with the finest traditions of the show.
An attitude? What's that commensurate? What does that mean then?
Commensurate, well. Like equal to.
Oh, well, that's an interesting word, isn't it? You've learned that one, so that's a new word for you. Sorry, Mary.
Word every week with Alan.
Let me read that again. Even the gaps left by the two actors who respectively would and could not take part were filled with imagination and with an attitude, I'll say, equal with the finest traditions of the show. As Samuel Johnson may have said of some of these efforts, it is like a dog's walking on his hind legs. It's not done well, but you are surprised to find it done at all. The incremental revelation of the backstory of the Time Lords shrouded in uncertainties is well judged and presented, and the only misstep here was perhaps the reticence against having the Doctors mixing together very much for extended periods. Chameleon does well in this one, cleverly avoiding the derision of the First Doctor and viewers by hiding somewhere in the TARDIS out of the way.
Yes.
This story is perhaps 90 minutes too short, because who would not like to luxuriate in the glory of all these characters and add more into the mix? Also, who would not have preferred that, thereby filling a full 3 hours of the otherwise desperate attempts to entertain us on Children in Need on first broadcast? Next up, Doctor Who and the murky Japanese pit of inferior costumes, or there should have been a better way to bring back great monsters. Just one more thing. Congratulations on reaching your day centennial celebration, and I look forward to hearing all three Adams together in the same room, or at least two of them if one gets stuck in a time eddy. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butch.
What do you mean, all three Adams?
Hey, nice one, Mary.
Ooh, that was a long one.
That's what she said.
Into it, honestly.
Right then, Laurie Nick. Sorry. Lillian Robin says, I'm very fond of this story. I've done that one. My thing's stuck. Oh, Alan T. Butcher said it's a big one.
That's what she said.
Right then, stand by, everybody, because it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One with Alicia for the first time ever. Right. Isabella's going to be reading the questions.
Wow.
Because I've got too much point adding up and stuff to do. However,
with all of us, it's going to take forever.
I've got a funny feeling she's going to cock it up somewhere along the line. So we've got the following players. Just a reminder, but if you're there and you don't, I haven't mentioned you, please let me know. Mary, Robert, Matthew, Kyle, Alicia, Debbie, Kirby. Anybody missing? No. Right then.
Yeah, Adam.
Those people who haven't played before, there's a joker. A joker can either double your points or you can take points off another player. First player to six points wins the game. Now, we could actually wipe the whole game out in one round if there's enough points in the bonus pot. So there you go. Right. First question. It's these questions about the five doctors you'll be glad to hear, because I had some. Yes?
There's a typo.
So it would have helped if I had gotten listened all the way through.
Where's the typo?
But I did...
The Eye of Orion. That's not a typo.
Eye of the Tiger.
No.
What? All right. Well, you know what it should say. Critic. Right then. So, first question goes to Mary.
If it does.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. So, where's my bell? Just got my bell.
Cherry.
All right. Why does the Eye of Orion make people feel relaxed?
I know too. Yeah.
Oh, it has something to do with the ions in the air.
No, all right, that's good enough. What do you reckon?
Let her have it.
Yeah.
Let her have it. All right, where's my fist?
Yes.
You should have played your Joker, Mary.
Fist.
Well, because I wasn't sure I'd get it right.
Right, Robert.
Yes.
Your question.
Okay. What does the Fifth Doctor put his first heart pain down to?
I know.
Cosmic angst.
Yay!
I must have been so kind when I wrote these questions. Matthew!
Okay.
I think we should just do this and just be gone with it, but carry on.
Right. Who was the Brigadier's replacement?
Colonel Crichton.
You should have played a Joker, man.
Yes, you should have done, yes.
I don't know why I didn't. It shows you how long it's been since I played the quiz.
No pressure, Kyle. Bye-bye. No pressure. Everybody's Bye-bye. Scored a point so far, even Mary.
Oh, this is cruel. What is
don't
the
worry,
first...
I'll leave.
Shh. Hurry on.
What is the third Doctor's first line?
Kyle.
Whose question is this?
That's Kyle's question.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is, yes.
I know.
No idea.
Well, there's no passovers, but Kirby says I know just for the sake of it because he's pedantic. Yes, Kirby?
Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, of course it is.
No, it's Great Balls of Fire.
It was Great Balls of Fire. He said great, but it disappeared down the Skype ether. Right then, Alicia, your question.
Yep.
Oh, God. When is May week?
I know.
Is this a trick question?
It's part of the script.
No.
It shouldn't be when is May week?
Oh, be quiet. Whatever it's supposed to be, you naughty man. Stop bamboozling her.
Is this like a general question? When is May week?
Yeah. Regarding to the script, as in punting on the cam or whatever it is they were punting.
I know.
I know you know. Oh.
I know too.
I know too.
I know first.
I know third.
So when is May week then, Alicia?
Is it the beginning of May?
Oh, God.
No, it's not. It's a logical answer, unless you watched the episode and paid attention.
Yeah.
Right, go on then, Kirby. Yeah. What is it?
I'm so confused.
Well, that's what the doctor said. He just said it.
So was the TARDIS.
Yeah, because I said I know before Kirby does, but you're...
Yeah. Oh, does it matter? Like Isabella, what's the answer?
It's your birth month, Alicia. June.
How is that May week? That does not...
Well, that's the whole point of what he was saying.
That's the whole point, because Romana then says she's confused.
Right, Debbie, your question.
May week.
Yes.
Debbie, here we go.
Yes.
How many members of the High Council entered the Dead Zone... but did not return?
I know.
Pardon it?
I don't know, four?
No.
What was the answer then, Isabella? Oh, sorry, I should play this. Yeah, go on. What's the answer? Two?
Yeah.
Two!
Yeah, I do.
One, two, 3 points and a bonus pop. Right. Kirby.
Master.
Okay. What colour drink... is Turlough drinking...
Turlough.
I don't know how the bloody hell to say his name.
Okay, so now you've given me something I have no idea.
What kind of drink is Turlough drinking while the doctors argue in the TARDIS?
So you don't know the answer, is that what you're saying?
Whoa.
What colour drink was it as well at?
Green.
Right.
I was going to say that.
Okay, this is where it could get interesting. Right, now, everybody
like,
listen.
It's like Scotty going, it is green.
Everybody listen, right, because it's very green important. It's bonus pock time. Right, so if you think you know the answer, say very quickly, I know, because then it's you'll get the option to answer the question.
I know, I've got...
Not now. Oh, that's the only question yet.
I've got excellent hearing, so I can...
Well, I probably know.
Right, well, be quiet, or I'll be deducting points. Mind you, there's no point to deduct. I could always go to minus. Right then, bonus pot question, Izzy.
Okay. How does the third Doctor plan to do against the Force in the Tower?
I know.
It's what you put.
Can I do that? Can I read that one?
It's what you put.
How does the third Doctor plan to... I should say, what does the... Oh, for God's sake.
Okay. What does the third Doctor plan to do against the Force?
He knows.
Hang on, who said I know first?
Matthew. Shall I do it again?
Oh, yeah, I did. Right. Yeah, I thought I did anyway.
Was it you? Was it you,
Matt?
Who was it?
Matthew!
Yes,
it was Matthew!
Go on then, Matthew. Right, what's the answer, Matthew?
Improvise!
Yeah!
Improvise, right, okay. Now, you missed out there, Matthew, because
you could have won the game.
You would have won the game if you played your Joker, so bad luck.
I keep forgetting that thing's there for me to use because it's been so long since I played the quiz.
So we might actually get through a second round, but I've got a funny feeling it's not going to happen. Right then, I would suggest somebody deducting some points off Matthew, otherwise this game's going to be too quick for my liking. Right then, Mary. Yeah, Mary's question.
What door of the tomb does the fifth Doctor plan to use?
I didn't hear that whole question.
Try that again.
What door of the tomb does the fifth Doctor plan to use?
I know.
Well, okay, the door of Rassilon.
That's a good answer. It's worth
point.
A point for comedy reasons.
Good point, actually.
What's the answer then?
Is the main door.
It's the main
door. Don't you mean the main door?
The main door.
The main door, yeah, okay.
The front door.
Okay. Robert,
also known
your
as the
question.
Door of Rassilon.
Yes. Take that as an answer, personally.
Robert, your question.
Yes.
What is the first thing the second Doctor and the Brigadier encounter in the tunnels?
Second thing?
The first.
The first thing that they encounter in the tunnels.
In the tunnels?
Yes. The caves, the tunnels, whatever you want to call them.
Oh. Must have been the Yeti, surely.
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, I should have played a Joker.
The Yeti?
I mean, do you want that point? Or do you want to deduct one off Matty, who's running away with it at the moment?
Oh, did he use his Joker?
No, he didn't.
No.
Oh, that means he can't deduct the point off Matthew, doesn't it? Okay, yeah. Right then.
Okay.
Matthew.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
maybe not, Kirby, maybe not.
What type of robot do the Third Doctor and Sarah meet?
I know,
Dan. Can I play my Joker here?
I know,
you can do. It won't make a difference, but yes.
Yeah, it is the Rastan Warrior Robot.
Is it, Isabella? Has he got that one right? Is it word for word correct?
Yes!
All too easy.
Yeah, it was a bit too easy, wasn't it? That's didn't even get... Well, just for the fun
said.
Of it, we'll complete the round. Matthew has one. But
yeah,
Kyle, just to see if Kyle's paying any attention.
Has one what? One point?
Oh, this is...
Kyle, there's a question in the pipeline for you in a moment when my question reader gets her head round the question.
Shut up.
Okay.
What colour are Tegan's shoes?
So true.
Why couldn't Matthew have had that one?
I'm gonna take a guess.
I know.
Come on.
And say they're like a red burgundy colour.
Yeah, he said red.
Very good.
Done. Right, go on.
Yes, Kyle.
Alicia.
I've got a point.
Alicia.
Yeah.
That sounds surprised.
Alicia, your question. And remember, you can beat Kyle if you play your Joker and get the question right.
Oh. What was found in the Castellan's room?
Sorry, what?
What was found in the Castellan's room?
I know.
But she's got.
Well, you're always making her feel bad.
Tell me.
No, I'm not telling you.
Oh dear, some marriage could depend on this.
Nope. I want to win against you.
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay then. Kyle, do you know?
It was the scrolls.
Yes, it was indeed the scrolls.
Black,
yes.
Black
don't get any points for it, but there you go.
The black scrolls, the ancient black scrolls. But I won't lie, I never always get how to pronounce his name.
Well, Rassilon.
I always go to, like, Ragnarok.
It's the name of Rassilon. Yes.
I'm going to say Ragnarok every time.
Right, Debbie. Oh.
Just for Kyle.
Debbie, you could, if you, you could, you haven't got enough points to, actually, I've got 2 points
I've
in the bonus.
I've got no points.
Right then, Debbie's question.
Yeah. Who was authorised to use the mind probe?
That's a good one. Why couldn't Matthew have had that question?
I know it anyway.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, smarty pants. Well,
I think I do anyway.
Is it like the commander?
Correct.
Oh, well, there you go. Well done, Debbie.
Yep.
Yes. And Kirby.
Master.
What is the first thing the second Doctor takes from his pocket?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
I don't know.
You just said
that's
no.
Incorrect.
No. What is it then?
Catapult.
A catapult, of course it is, yes. So,
you
mean a slingshot?
A slingshot.
It's a catapult, be quiet. We'll have a vote on it, and I think catapult will come up top of the list.
No,
thank you very much.
It depends on how many Americans.
It's a slingshot.
I call them slingshots.
Oh, be quiet, you watch too many Marvel films. Shut your face.
Actually, Stranger Things.
Right, the results then.
I've never been accused of that before.
The results then of this week's... be quiet, we're doing the results. Right, in last place with 0 points each, it's Alicia and Kirby.
Oh, wow.
In joint third with 1 point each, it's Mary, Kyle and Debbie. In second place with 2 points is Roberts. And the winner this week with 10 points is Smarty Pants Matthew.
Yay, Matthew!
Congratulations. There might be more questions, but that's over. It is over. Well, the quiz is over. Which allows me to move into the nostalgia part of the episode. Lillian Robbins says, the quiz of Rassilon. That's what I should have called it and stuff.
Yes.
Will you stop biting me?
Now, when you guys talk catapult, that brings to mind a giant mechanism, you know, that...
Right.
That really big black rocks.
Look, I can't help it if Americans don't know how to pronounce things properly, okay? This is a long-going issue. Oh, shut up, you. Stop backing them up. Right, then. Yeah, I was just thinking about how long. So this is episode 400. Now, I thought I might delve into the archives just for a laugh and look back at some of our other milestone episodes very briefly.
Oh dear.
Oh, no.
Yes, indeed.
So I'll have to open this up. If I double-click on that, it's going to open up in iTunes. So what I'm going to do, press that, stop it. That's the theme tune. Move it into about, so we say 44 minutes and see who's on.
Doctor Who prop. And the next item underneath that will also have been next to it is Cyberman chest unit, which seems to go with that. So it's £150 for that and £150 for the other one. But this thing is just...
It's me rabbiting. So let's move to another section.
What are you talking about?
We haven't done Doctor Who eBay for years.
And then the Savina get blown up as well.
Sounds like Alicia.
And then after that, that's really it. They step out and Harriet Jones is like, can you tell newspaper the crisis is over? And she goes, and she's like, who's going to tell everybody? She goes, and Doctor's like, you can be the new Prime Minister. He goes, not me, I'm just a backbencher. And then
she had a bit of a blocked nose while doing that particular feature. That was episode 50. That was episode 50. That was you with a blocked nose on episode 50, Alicia. Episode. Episode 100.
April 4th, 2011.
Yeah, all right, Smarty Pants. Right. Oh, no, you made me block. Stop it. I'll be able to play. Oh, now I've changed the name of it. Oh, bloody hell. That was your fault, Kirby.
Stop right. Pressing buttons.
Well, we had Fraser Hines on episode 100.
And I did his Maurice Chevalier impression.
Yeah, or maybe even Canada. Oh. No special shows Mary. That I'm aware of.
Mary, you're on number 100.
Action figures or even the new or classic episodes. Not even the Doctor Who magazine. I hope its popularity keeps growing. And I hope you...
That was you, Mary, with your dulcet tones.
However, Master...
Yes.
That wasn't Mary being with us.
That was just feedback.
That was me giving you feedback.
It's still a dulcet tones, Kirby.
Yes.
Let's delve further into episode 100.
Quite a lot of messages this week, as far as I can make out.
Let me just have a look at my inbox. See what I've got. Okay. I've got some messages here.
Yeah.
Are they for the podcast?
Yeah, they are. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
I've actually just received an email telling me that there's a brand new Peppa Pig thing for 2012 at Horton Park, which is quite interesting. Holly's Little Kingdom.
Have you seen those Dalek egg cups?
No.
Yes, yeah, so that was Ben and Robert, the comedy double act that they used to have on the show all those years ago.
My database says that Isabella was on that episode as well.
Yeah, well, shall we talk about Isabella? Should we find something with her on?
No, you don't have to do that.
This might be a bit tricky. Really. Hang on.
Sorry, and a biker.
Continuity error. Approve.
Hang on. I'm skipping through. What? Over with. Skipping through. Why does that say test on it? You might get lucky because it's going to be difficult finding you on it.
Once again, and if we get a little bit dusty.
Doctor Who!
Yes. Sexting them.
Oh, I'm not going to find you. You're lucky.
Without any further ado.
Yeah, moving on. Let's go to 200.
Okay.
Kirby's cheating because he's got the list of what was on what.
I was on that too, wasn't I?
I'm the only person who's kept a complete list like this.
It's not a competition. Here we go. Episode 200. Here we go.
So she wouldn't.
What do we do if Kirby dies?
But the little girl they got, her hair was far too light coloured to pass as little Amelia. But it was a nice touch, I suppose. And in fact, they didn't really need to get Karen Gillan back in it for that. So I know they like to do that with regenerations. They like to have the Doctor sort of visiting previous companions.
Hang on, I know that's not even the podcast. This is the podcast.
What's that then?
It's a clip from the podcast. There we go.
Anyway.
Oh, it's Magic Bargain. Yeah, it's got this magic. Get magic on the show.
Watched this particular story. The fact that they turn out that.
Whoop! That's the volume. I just accidentally turned it down
because they actually they form a little army with the Doctor to try and protect Christmas.
That's the best review I've heard of it so far, Mary.
It's all right.
Best review I've heard of it.
Right, Reese. Sorry, Mary. Reese.
That's okay.
What I liked about it was it wasn't like at the end of time when, I think it was in the first part, David Tennant started saying, well, I'm going to die, isn't this sad, I'm going to mope.
I agree. Whereas,
why couldn't Reese come on this week?
Yeah.
He's asleep. Yeah. At least you can't find me.
I will find you in a minute because I've got a condensed version of the history of the show somewhere. Episode 300, which I think is a cocked up version somewhere because I've got two files.
Wow.
Ooh, there's one called the 20 megabyte, the first 300. That you're going to be on that at least, Isabella.
Hello and welcome to the story of the 20 megabyte.
Not that bit.
I think this bit, what we're seeing from this series is a two-part.
Pardon?
My database also has two 300s. One's the first 300 audiobook, and the other is the search for Jason.
That's what we do. Jason,
can you say something, please? It'd be nice to hear from you.
I think that the Amy and Rory are just completely
6 hours.
Series, unfortunately,
yes, 6 hours.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you did a massive kind of compilation thing.
Wasn't it good though?
The party.
Yes, it was great.
Is he?
Here.
Yeah.
Here she is.
Oh, no.
Yay! Here she is. No. This is what we've been trying to find. This is right. About nostalgia. This is from episode 300, skipping back to episode 5.
Oh, no.
You like Amy?
Oh, wow.
How old are you?
I guess
8 o'clock. You're 8 o'clock, are you? Yeah. I'll tell the listeners you're 3 and you're going to be 4.
Wow.
On the 8th of June, aren't you?
10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a party?
Yeah.
Is the Doctor going to be at your party?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be good. I'll have to go to that party then, won't I?
Yes.
So, what happened on Doctor Who this week? Do you remember?
Amy fell down to the ground. Oh,
I think it was a coffee pot, which I didn't delete. It's from...
Still loving
it. Amy fell down to the ground.
That's so cute.
Anyway, episode 400.
Got that recorded.
Episode 400 is not that long ago.
And as I say, I got sort of all excited, and then
Toby Haydo.
And I appeared, and Charles Dance is talking and going.
So I think he'll always wear that crown.
And Louise Jameson. Oh, we had some stars on the 400th episode.
That was a good episode.
But yeah, but if you want to actually go back and listen to episode 300, the audio book, there's so much fun. It is 6 hours long, but.
It
flies by. It is essentially an audiobook. And there's lots of Alicia on it for the first 10 minutes.
Someone remind me what this search for Jason thing is, because I don't even...
Jason Tron kept falling out of signal. We couldn't talk to him properly.
Oh, okay.
He could pop in and pop out.
I'm glad you could remember that, but I couldn't remember it. All right, we should have a bit more Alicia. Hello and welcome to the story. Not that bit.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the story.
What? How old are you again?
8.
4.
8.
4.
I'm 8.
That's nice. That's good. So you can say goodbye.
Would say hello.
We say goodbye.
Say hello.
Bye.
I would say to Doctor Who Club.
Go on then.
Listen to Doctor Who Club to say.
Okay, go on then.
Hello, welcome to the Doctor Who Club. Let's say the people all together.
I was just looking on eBay this week.
Wasn't that fun?
Master?
Yes.
I remember the one. I believe you were pulling figures out of a bag.
Oh, that was that was fun, wasn't it? That's on there actually. So when that was, I wish I could find that particular clip. Oh my God, yes, it was. We had all our Doctor Who figures in it, almost like a bag or a sock or something like that. And Alicia pulled them out, and Isabella would try and name them to work out whether to work out whether they were the Doctor or not, when in fact they were all the Doctor.
Stop bullying, yes. You're not nice.
Yes, worked quite well, surprisingly well for an audio presentation. And
Alan T. Butcher has added a comment.
Oh, yes.
He says, I felt the highlight of the 10 years was, of course, when my feedback for Invasion of the Dinosaurs was read 3 times in full over 2 episodes.
I have to ask, actually, Alicia, while you're on.
Yeah?
Well, what was it that traumatised you into not being on the show anymore? Was it...
I turned into a teenager.
But you were already... Oh, that's just reminded me of something. I think I've still got it. Well, some of you may or may not be aware that before... And I haven't got the file anymore, have I? Yes, I have. Or have I? Oh, no, I don't think I have. We did a podcast prior to the 20 Megabyte podcast, Alicia and I. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for Alicia, the file isn't available. Oh, good. Or is it? Hang on, I'm having a look for it. Ooh. Ah, it is. Or some of it. Episode 6. Yeah, they're all here. Hoovy and Anorak. 2007, these were recorded.
I want to listen to this.
That can't be right. How old was she been then? 10?
Hello, I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is the Doctor Whovian mini podcast, episode 5. Now, we are here to review the Sarah Jane Adventures second story, which I think was called something like The Eye of the Gorgon. Alicia, your opinions, as it's a children's programme.
I think it was quite good because it got some mythologically, so kind of schoolwork. So I've done work on Greeks. It was quite good because one of the reason with how it turned stone and how that old woman got brought back from stone is really good.
An old woman got brought back from stone. I remember the father.
No, the old woman did, because the old woman had the thing.
She had originally been brought back.
Yeah.
I see. And how many TARDISes out of 5 would you give the first part of the story?
I'll give it 8.
She seemed quite sweet there, didn't she, everybody?
Yeah.
What happened?
Thanks.
What do you think of that then, Kyle?
Pardon?
What do you think of that?
She's got such a cute little voice back then.
She didn't have... It wasn't helium.
Back then.
She's messing around with my tonic screwdriver.
Her voice now is more whinging and moaning at me.
Well, I do suggest, actually, if you talk about whinging and moaning, you should listen to the first 75 episodes of this show.
Oh God, I couldn't.
Oh, thanks. I'm curious to delve a bit deeper into Whovian and Anorak. 24th of September 2007.
On the Doctor Whovian podcast today, we have a very exclusive meeting with John Pertwee, recorded in 19.
Oh, that's that thing. That's available on YouTube, so I'm not going to play that.
Yeah.
How about this one? This is the first one. very loud.
Hello, and welcome to the Doctor Whovian podcast. Now, due to Alicia and I's appearance on the WhoCast recently, we decided to get our fingers out and finally get the podcast up and running. So here we are. Now, we're going to start with a fairly low-key version of the show at the moment, with no sound effects, no music, nothing like that. For one main reason, because I'm recording this quite late at night and I don't want to wake the family up. Normally I'll be recording it during the day on a Monday, and I'd have a bit more equipment available to me.
Oh, shut up, move on.
Brand new clip from 1.1, Revenge of the Slitheen.
That's because I'm being quiet. I should be doing that now, actually. I'm going to get in show. Trouble.
Like Marco Smith desktop download games and more.
Moving on.
Never mind. Moving on. What are your favourite story of this first series?
Oh, is she not there?
Silence doesn't really work on audio presentations.
I've heard that said before.
I'm trying to think. I don't know what the episode was called.
Well, what was it about?
Oh, was it?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Weren't they going to the?
Oh.
What was it called?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. This is getting
like
worse.
She has not
and
changed.
Worse. Okay, so, do you want to go through the stories that were in Zoom?
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, we started with a robot, then we had the Ark in Space, and then it was the Sontaran experiment, then Genesis of the Daleks, and Revenge of the Cybermen. And after that, you can include it if you like, we watched the Terror of the Zygons, Planet of Evil, and now we're on the Pyramids of Mars. So you can include all those stories. What's the best one?
Did you say a Dalek one?
Yes, I said Genesis of the Daleks, yes.
I like that one.
I thought, well, that must be a really good story because a lot of the Doctor Who fans like that one as well. Yeah. Now,
she likes Genesis of the Daleks. Maybe that's one you should watch then, Kyle and Alicia.
Yeah.
Genesis of the Daleks. There we go.
Genesis of the Daleks. Definitely now. Any Doctor Who episode.
Now, like,
is it Dalek?
Yeah. Has it got a Daleks in? No, I don't know.
Well, that's what it was like. So when Alicia was obsessed with the new series, and she was obsessed with it because she ruined all my DVDs. I will mention this on several occasions. I'd recorded the whole lot off the telly, and she had the whole lot up in her room. And once she'd watched them, she thought it would be a good idea to use them as drinks coasters.
Oh,
oh
no!
Well, so at least she used drinks coasters back then.
Bloody talk!
So yes, she was rather obsessed with new Doctor Who. So when Dalek was on, the original Dalek episode, the Christopher Eccleston one, there, she came down and said, "Have you got any Doctor Who stories with Daleks in?" I said, yes, and I had Planet of the Daleks, and she watched Planet of the Daleks, and I do believe she quite enjoyed it. And then a little bit after that, I come up with this idea of watching the whole lot from the start, and we did that. But the problem was, and I can't quite understand why in some circumstances, it was a bedtime thing. We'd watch an episode of Doctor Who at bedtime, and I'd be going, wake up, wake up, to her for quite a lot of the time.
Why?
Because it was a bedtime and she was falling asleep. She must have been about 8 or 9, maybe 7, 8 or 9 when we started the journey. And by the time we did the Anorak podcast, she was 10 or 11. So we'd been, you think where we are now in the journey now. And yes, we do an episode a week. Me and Alicia would probably cover 2 stories per week while we were doing the original journey. And we didn't do any of the missing stories. It was only stuff that was available to watch. So, yeah, it was quite a traumatic experience for her. But I do remember once we got to the war games, we watched one episode on, it might have been a day I was off work in the morning, and she said, well, can we watch the next one? And the war games was binge-watched in one day because it was that good.
Wow.
It's that good, yes.
I love that.
She probably can't remember it, though. Can you, Alicia?
I was amazed the first time I saw the War Games that it actually pulls you in and you have to watch 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's very, very good, isn't it? That's something for you to watch then, Kyle. The War Games, 10 episodes. Oh, Patrick Troughton.
It's like that.
Did you say don't watch it?
She just said, don't watch it, yeah.
She's mean, isn't she? She's denying you good Doctor Who after having watched...
She's denying me Doctor Who.
Five Doctors, you know, fair enough, that's all right. But there are some good stuff out there in the classic era.
There is.
You don't know, you've only seen the Five Doctors.
By the way, Alicia?
Yeah?
I have three daughters, and they're all in their 20s now.
Miserations.
Mid-20s. But they all were Doctor Who fans through their teenage years. They stayed Doctor Who fans. Two of them are not anymore. They dropped off at particular doctors because they couldn't stand that the doctor changed. But one of them, my oldest daughter...
Daddy Fred, isn't it? Fred?
No, Fred is still a fan of... all Doctor Who, and she watches, so, as we're going through the journey, she watches most of them with me.
Excellent.
You said you stopped watching when you were a teenager, but my daughters didn't.
Yeah, no, I just found alcohol.
And also...
I did work as well. I was working like full time, and then alcohol got involved as well, and I was like, well, one thing's got to go, so I decided Doctor Who had to go. It was a very sad day.
Yeah, but she... you did say that... obviously, you love the Eccleston and Tennant era, but once the Matt Smith era kicked in, you started drifting away from it. And that, ironically, is when we actually started the show. So you managed to hang on quite well. But by the time Capaldi came in, she was well gone.
Oh, God, I hate him.
What, Capaldi?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. An argument developing here?
They're not even married yet, honestly. Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, my.
Well, we've survived 8 weeks in quarantine together, so I'm
just.
Yeah, that would test any relationship.
So who's your favourite Doctor then, Kyle?
I started with Eccleston. I think definitely Tennant.
Yeah.
And then it's Capaldi.
Yay.
So you didn't mind the Moffat era that... a lot of people did used to moan about, but now I'm feeling quite nostalgic about at the moment, the way things are going.
Yeah, I'm nostalgic though, because it wasn't like it is now. Like, I feel like the last season, it was like you had to watch all of it because it was all one big episode. And the MoPap one, I thought, like, each episode was its own individual story. There was no massive thing that you had to be aware of. It was like you could just sit down and watch an episode. And that was it. I thought it was like so much.
Well, wasn't too complicated, you're saying, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you could.
We thought we were moaning because it was too complicated, but now things have just gone a little bit mad.
Oh yeah, things have just gone a bit.
But did you manage to get through the whole of the last series? Did you manage to watch every episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We managed to do more than her on my left has managed to do. Which one did you stop watching at? Was it? Oh, you watched the Jadoon one, didn't you? Then you watched the next one after the Jadoon one. How much? I don't think you watched many more after that, did you?
I don't know. Yeah.
The Jadoon one was good, though.
The Jadoon one was brilliant, but I was just saying that they haven't watched the last two episodes, although Deb watched it begrudgingly and said how rubbish it was because she fell asleep towards the end of episode one. Isabella hasn't watched any of the last four episodes, at least.
No, two.
I thought the last episode was brilliant.
I enjoyed the last episode. I'm not too sure about the second to last episode. But yeah, it's a Marmite situation, isn't it? I just got hit over the head rather
I like Marmite.
Unfairly.
Oi, I love Marmite, actually.
I love Marmite. I'm of America.
Marmite. Never had it.
Marmite's disgusting.
I hate it.
Never tried it, have you?
Yes, I have.
Right, I think we should... I'll happily dabble in nostalgia for long, long, many, many hours. However, we do need to mention the sponsors.
Who are they, Kirby?
Well, there's... Is it whowon.co.uk?
No. Well, yeah, that's one. Just want to see if they've got anybody in anything in their shop that I might have had for my birthday. Let's have a look. Coming soon. Oh no, all the same old stuff. What else have we got here? Latest products. My God, it's blank. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the latest product page has got nothing in it. There's lots and lots of big Finish audios and stuff. There's some really good stuff coming out on Big Finish. And also, talking of Big Finish, in B&M, which is a department store. No, it's not. It's a sort of like bit of everything store, really, isn't it? Pass over there on that shelf. This is for the viewers only. That one.
BSM.
Yeah, B&M. B&M. Basically, they've actually selling the range, the Big Finish range of Doctor Who figures. This one specifically I got, which is the Eighth Doctor and Dalek Interrogator Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I never get to be in there. I always forget about going and looking in there.
It was $19.99, but I thought I'd buy myself something for my birthday.
But you know what? You should get these bloody scalpers.
2020, not 1999.
Scooping them up and selling them on bloody eBay for... Ridiculous.
That's why
prices.
I never find anything.
Yeah,
then.
So pop in B&M. They've got the Fifth Doctor in the Peladon set. They've got the Eighth Doctor.
Or is that
third Doctor? Thank you. What did I say Fifth for? Yeah. And they got the Seventh Doctor as well in a Big Finish set. Not sure, I can't remember what it's called now. So he's not wearing his question mark suit or anything, but it's obviously the Seventh Doctor. And so they've got some really exclusive sets. I think he's got the TARDIS with him, the Seventh Doctor, in that one. Big Finish one. So the Big Finish have actually bought out figures now, which is fantastic. And Lavazzi, I did actually put something up about. They've got some stuff going on in regards to cosplay. So they've got little guides on how to cosplay specifically the Seventh Doctor, because they sell most of his costume.
Matthew?
What?
Hmm?
What?
He's asleep.
Is he?
He's not done
an Andy Nunny.
No, I'm still awake, still sitting here.
Oh, well, that's more than what I can say for our listeners. So well done. So yeah, that's sort of, that's our sponsors. I didn't want to do the same old thing with them because I thought I'd say something. Somebody bark?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Magic's in the other room. I've got an issue now. Oh, it was Nala. Nala's first appearance on the podcast. Oh, bless her.
Aww.
Where are you going, Isabella?
Nowhere.
Oh. Right, and Doctor Who news, which I doubt there is any. Oh, there is. Homemade Who. Doctor Who fans around the world united in April 2020. Hopefully,
self-distancing
to recreate their favourite moments during the lockdown. The Homemade Who project was launched last month to give Doctor Who community something creative and fun to do while everyone's stuck back at home. So there's a few pictures of people cosplaying in the privacy of their own homes. Animated director and producer Charles Norton appeared as a guest on last week's Time Space Visualizer convention organized by Phantom Events Online, during which he discussed the new special edition of The Power of the Daleks with Toby Haydoke. What's his, he's more on the friend of the foe. He's a, like a honorary
Did you say friend of the foe?
Co-presenter.
Friend of the foe, yeah.
The interview is available to watch online from Phantom Events YouTube channel. So that's quite good. And, that's it. That's all we've had since last week.
The foe from the future?
Pardon?
The foe from the future.
Are they?
No, that's the story that became Talons of Wang Chiang.
Talons of Wang Chiang.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Isabella?
No.
No, I didn't know that either. Right then.
I did.
So sadly, all good and bad things come to an end. And Carl, being a professional entertainer, have you got anything to entertain us with while I find a way of ending the show?
You can't just put an entertainer on the spot, Adam.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
I've been put on the spot for 10 years.
It's your own fault.
I'm sure I can.
What do you mean it's my own fault?
Because you,
I mean, you put yourself
podcast
on the spot, Adam, by starting the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was Alicia's idea.
It was, yeah. Alicia decided she was going to. Adam asked me if I wanted to come on the podcast. I was like, yeah, cool. And Alicia's like, I'll come on with you.
Because you're the favourite now.
I am the favourite. You're right.
No, Nala's the favourite, I'm afraid. I do apologise, but yes, Nala is
the favourite.
Favourite
in our household.
Yeah.
The little beagle.
Is this you trying to work your way out of doing some entertaining for us while I try and find out that I was going to say something?
Absolutely. Oh, this is me speaking utter gibberish.
I get our Doctor How.
No, we don't want that.
All right, then, I've got another question right then. Kirby, ask Kyle a question about his love of Doctor Who and why he likes Doctor Who, but doesn't like the classic era. Go on, Kirby. I've just asked the question myself, haven't I?
Yeah, you just asked the question because part of it dropped out on me anyway.
Yeah, it did me.
Lucky but... listeners.
Whose phone is that?
It's Mary's.
My phone. Like I say it, you know, I hear nothing from anybody all day until I'm on this recording. Yep. And then everybody I know starts texting
Stop
me.
Tap in the back of the chair. No. I think she's eager to get upstairs and do some gaming.
Ask him the question yourself because I didn't hear it.
Did you hear what I asked?
I didn't
either. By proxy.
I heard part of it.
Well, I've got some Final Fantasy to play as well, you know.
So anyway, yes, what is it?
15 or
I'll ask him myself.
Remake of 7.
So yes, Doctor Who, Kyle.
I know what I'm talking about.
Kyle!
Hello. Yes, I can hear you now. Yes.
So, what
was the question?
Would you call yourself a Doctor Who fan?
I would call myself a modern day Doctor Who fan.
That's fine. That counts.
When it came back on the air after that big old break, I wouldn't say classic Doctor Who. So yeah, modern day, absolutely.
Well,
I do love it.
2005 is turning into new classic, isn't it, really? Because it's a long time ago, 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, as I've learned, it really makes a difference to start from the beginning if you're going to do classic Who. Because when you jump around like I initially did, there's so many things that just don't make sense to you, you know, or things that you miss because you didn't know, you know, all that came before it.
An example would have been the Guardians, Mary, if you did Enlightenment or whatever.
Yeah,
just happened upon that.
You jump in
this guy with a dead bird on his head.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to ask Alicia why she liked Doctor Who. I think it's because I think she might have just liked the new series, but I was rather she was forced into it to a degree. But she did ask.
No, forced?
She did ask.
I was. Every week I was going to be forced to sit there and watch it.
You were forced to watch.
You
were forced to watch
torture.
Classic Who, but you happily watched New Who.
Yeah, I'll still watch New Who now if it wasn't for the Doctor that's currently playing the Doctor.
We're going to watch the 50th episode
later on,
aren't we?
I'm just very picky if I like.
50th anniversary even.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't like the new Doctor. She's weird.
Yes.
Meanies.
I don't like her.
Meanies.
She's a tryhard.
What about the other new... Hang on, what about the other new Doctor, the Joe Plingmijig Doctor? She's quite good, isn't she?
That's the one she's on about.
No, no, she's talking about the current Doctor, as in Jodie Whittaker. I'm talking about Joe. What's the name?
Joe
played,
Martin.
Joe Martin, who played the other new Doctor in the Jadoon episode.
Jadoon one. Yeah.
Mm. I haven't watched that one.
Well, you fooled. You should be watching.
Oh, that's a good one. One of the best.
Yeah, watch that one. That's good.
I thought she was good.
One of the top ones.
Hey, Kyle, get her to watch the Jadoon episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think, to be fair, I think we might have to watch the whole the last season.
You will have to suffer some rubbish stuff, though, while doing
Series.
That.
Series.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Just pick out the Jadoon episode. The first two episodes are quite good. And then the Jadoon
one.
And then the last two.
And
which one with the Master?
The one at the house in the sky.
Yeah, that was the first... That was Spyfall, wasn't it?
I didn't like the second episode. I liked the first episode.
Yeah, so Spyfall's quite good. The Jadoon one's really good. And the last two episodes.
The spa one, when I went to the spa.
Oh, the worst one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that one.
Awful.
Oh, did you like that one, Alicia, when they went to the spa?
Yeah.
Even beat the black spot, did it, Kirby?
It did beat the black spot for a
bit. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It did, yeah, couldn't believe it.
Anyway, if I don't end the episode soon and someone's going to come downstairs and kill me with a dirty look. Mm. So next week, it's Warriors from the deep, or is it Warriors of the Deep?
Of the Deep.
Warriors of the Deep.
Of the Deep.
Is it the same time next week?
Well, yeah, we'll be 7 o'clock next week rather than the quarter past 7. So I'm presuming that Boris Johnson isn't going to put out a pointless speech next week.
Somebody buy him a comb.
He combed his hair for this thing.
A bag?
Yeah, stop shouting. Well then, so... yes, Kyle, obviously we're going to try and get you on the show on a permanent basis when the new series starts, but you're welcome to come back at any time.
Yeah, you could watch the Warriors of the Deep and make fun of the Murka.
No. What I'm thinking, Kirby, is to get him to watch a decent episode and then let him come.
Yeah, decent poo,
right.
Please.
Right.
I'll tell you what I want. I want an episode of each one of you.
Okay.
An episode of each one of you and I'll watch
Plastic.
Them.
Plastic.
Right, I'll tell you what. The next one that I'd say is quite good. Actually, it's a run of good episodes, isn't it? Planet of Fire.
And then Cave of Atlantis. There you go. Watch that one.
That's going back in time.
Yeah, I know, but I was recommending one.
Oh, okay.
Going back in time? What?
What do you mean going back in time?
Well, I thought as far where we are in the journey, the next good, what I'd say is quite good stuff, is stuff like Planet of Fire through to...
You didn't like Awakening.
Awakening, you're right. Okay. Awakening, Planet of Fire, Cave of Atlantis.
Andrew would be the next one.
Yeah, but
I still think those three stories are quite good. They hold up quite well, including The Awakening. Well, I might do that then.
I'll have you know that Warriors of the Deep I've never seen.
Oh, well.
Good. Wow.
This should be interesting.
It is interesting.
He's going to watch it 10 times.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen the scene with the Murka.
You've
course,
seen the scene?
Yes. Right. I've S-E-E-N, the
Anti-Horse.
E-N-E.
Do you want to go to the toilet? Anyway, right, I've got to finish because Isabella is eager to get away. Get off me. So, thanks everybody for coming on this evening. If I'm still alive and haven't been murdered by a certain person between now and Tuesday, which of course
she must be obeyed.
Is my birthday, then I'll be back for recording on Sunday, where we will be talking about Warriors of the Deep. And until then, thank you very much for your support and your listenership over the last 10 years. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Goodbye.
Thanks for all the fish.
Bye. That's the longest goodbye ever.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.